United Nations is welcoming the 5 billionth person alive in the world.
The White House today denies reports the U.S. sent weapons-related equipment to Iran as late as last month. The recent scandal at the PTL ministry are taking a toll on the credit.
Kim Baker resigned.
Let's go! Welcome to Tracy and Friends, weekdays from 9 to noon. It's the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at TracyandFriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
I have worked with young Buckner twice before, and it really came off this. And I thought there was a chance of making a stylish thriller that was also an action-packed film that would be intriguing.
Good morning and welcome to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. It is 8 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock, and I'm home, and it's good to be back and be back in with you and be back here with you. Six is in studio with me. Today is Wednesday. Today is the 12th of March. I want to wish one of my girlfriends that I grew up with a happy birthday. This is our fabulous year, and so I think we're just going to celebrate all year. I think there's about seven of us. And we all turn 50 in the same year, so I think we'll just celebrate from now until the end. And my birthday's last in December.
Okay.
Hey, how you doing today, Six?
Good. You come back from Florida. You brought us a beautiful day yesterday with you.
It was beautiful.
70 degrees at my house.
It was beautiful. I came home and looked outside and said, this is good. I got off the plane and I had a sweater on, and it was hot. I'm like, wow, this is good. What happened?
Global warming.
Okay. Oh, there's what did I miss? This is my first vacation.
Yeah.
I was on vacation. I went to West Palm Beach,
mm-hmm.
and I have not been on vacation in a decade. And I've taken some short little, but it's, and then I work. I'm on the phone. I'm Facebooking. I'm doing something.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as just I had no news. I did do a
media blackout.
No, I didn't do. I did a little bit of New York Times on Sunday.
Did you do the crossword puzzle?
No.
No.
I'm not that smart.
Not smart than a fifth grader.
Definitely not. I did. I didn't do anything. No work. No, I didn't call Jeff. I didn't call you. I didn't talk to people. I missed Malaysia. I knew about Malaysia, but I don't know anything else. So if anything else has happened, and I want to find out about Dianne Feinstein. I want to talk about that today because I heard about that. But I missed it all. I missed everything. So you guys have to tell me what I missed. No local news.
You know Ukraine's on fire, right?
No. I know nothing.
Okay.
You missed. I know nothing.
I didn't know if that happened before you left or not.
Well, the Ukraine was still. It was blazing when I left, mm-hmm. but I shut it down and put some water hose on. I did like the president. I'm on vacation. I took a break.
Did you run into him down there? You were down there close by.
No. I even missed the CPAC speeches. I didn't do any of that.
You should have heard
Sarah Palin.
Sarah Palin's green eggs and ham was hilarious.
No. Missed the green eggs and ham. No CPAC. Actually, I thought about it after I was there. I actually should have been in D.C. for CPAC and taken vacation another day.
Mm-hmm.
But it was an afterthought, so it must not have meant to be.
Whoa, excuse me, that's my fault.
Six. You get your little cord fixed and there you go nuts.
No,
what?
That's off the speakers.
No.
That's just off the speakers.
What else did I do? I got to tell you my Haagen-Dazs story. No, I got to tell you about my story getting there.
Okay.
I'm broke, y'all, and so I take a cheap flight.
That's right. You told me you went to West Palm Beach by way of Perth, Australia.
Oh no! It gets worse.
Okay.
I went to West Palm Beach by way of Chicago. I get to Chicago. They tell me they're having bad. I miss my plane at my connecting flight in Chicago, so I have to catch the next flight. The next flight goes to California and then goes to West Palm Beach, or I get to stay in Chicago overnight and catch the next plane the next morning.
Okay. Then they're done that.
I had to pay for the hotel.
You had to pay for the hotel.
Yeah, I mean, I
their fault.
I got in at like 9 o'clock at night.
That's their fault.
Or 8 o'clock
at
night.
They should put you up.
They didn't put me up. They made me. They gave me a list. They gave me a phone call to call, and I could stay at a hotel there. So I stayed at a hotel overnight. And the next morning, I get up and they shuttle me back to the airport. I go back to security, and when I get to West Palm Beach, I have no luggage. My luggage went to Los Angeles, Texas, Orlando, and then came to West Palm Beach, Florida.
How long did that take?
Oh, that took a whole day. They didn't get there until that night.
Oh.
So that was my story of getting there.
Mm-hmm.
But I got to tell you my Haagen-Dazs story, and you'll appreciate this.
All right.
Stayed with a friend, and her mom wanted some ice cream. And so we were at the mall. And, you know, I'm one of those people that says, okay, you know, I'm not gonna mooch on people.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll buy some ice cream.
Yeah.
So I bought the mom ice cream. Mm-hmm. So I went over to Haagen-Dazs, and I said, can I get, you know, 2 small cups of ice cream? I want a chocolate, and I want a chocolate chip cookie dough. And the lady comes back, and, you know, I got my little $8 out. She tells me it's $14.
Oh, that's right. You were in high-class mall.
I said, are you kidding me? This is a joke. Right?
That's what you get for hanging out with them highfalutin people.
I was like, it's $14 for 2 scoops of ice cream.
You could have bought 2 gallons at the grocery store for that.
No. You couldn't have bought 2 gallons of it because it was really good. It was better than Breyers. Don't get me wrong. But Handles? Nah.
It ain't better than Handles.
It wasn't better than Handles. And I don't play that as Handles, so
no.
I don't understand.
Handles has awesome ice cream.
Right. So if you're not better than Handles, why are you charging $14? It's $7 a scoop of ice cream.
Because they can. Because you're hanging out with them highfalutin people.
I wasn't hanging out. I was staying where my people were. And
no,
I,
wait a minute.
You're
you were
paying
supposed to go
for
to a polo
the
match.
Name.
I didn't go to a polo match. I drove up to, a Renaissance festival. And they can I?
You know, Haagen-Dazs is considered premier ice cream, right?
I don't care what Haagen-Dazs is.
It's not better than Handles.
It's not better than Handles. What you say? Handles is just a small town ice cream store. Usually
Diva?
Your local stuff
Diva.
Is much better than this big
Diva.
Marketed stuff.
Diva.
But you pay
$14.
I know.
You can buy half a cow for $14.
Back. Did
ain't
you give them back,
the
or did you pay?
No, I ate it. I ate every bite, scraped it out, and licked the bowl. I wanted every bit of my $14. I couldn't understand it.
Well, good morning and welcome back.
Hey, it's good to be back. Had a great time. I went to the Renaissance Festival.
Right.
And can I tell y'all, you white people crazy. See, y'all look at black folks and y'all act like we straight. We ain't strange. We do not walk around with horns on our head, tails on our back, and buy stuff that makes our ears look like Spock. No, we don't do that. No. That's not what we do.
You didn't see any black knights?
There were black people that were there. Don't get me wrong.
And were they in armor?
Yeah, one of them was. But I'm talking.
Y'all put on a whole production of stuff. We might engage from time to time, but y'all the ones who put on these
special stuff. Y'all go over way over the top.
I'm gonna have to take you to Yankee Lake Truck Night sometime.
No, y'all crazy. No, listen what I'm saying. I looked around, y'all. The food. I mean, it was special. I can't believe y'all. Women had tails, and they had their bust all out, and angels and fairies and wings. And I said, I had to stop people and say, can you please tell me what is the significance of the ears, the tail, and the horns?
At a Renaissance festival?
Yeah.
So what was that all about?
They believe that that something was attracted to animals, and so was detracted to animals. So they would the dragon or whomever was didn't like animals, so they would make themselves look like animals so that no harm would come to them.
Ah, I see.
Something on that order, but something crazy.
Sounds like druids.
Warp asked me why did some of them dress up like Spock. That's what I'm saying. The ears, it made them the weird ears. Like we got to find some Celtic people.
Celtic people are from Ireland.
Right. They had on kilts and all that kind of stuff. I guess it's the
Kilts are Scottish.
That's what I thought. So was this.
I don't know.
That's what I'm saying.
Sounds like it was a mishmatch. Like a Renaissance festival. Sounds like a medieval festival.
They labeled it as Renaissance, but they had kilts and they had the Celtic symbols and they were doing the Irish dancing and. They had the music.
Okay.
Hey, I heard the Pope cuss while I was gone.
He did. I didn't hear that.
I didn't hear what he said, but I heard the Pope cuss.
Huh.
And he said a bad word. He
must have been really upset.
I don't know. He said a bad word. Ooh. So what else is going on?
We're eating sort of the same thing.
Yeah, we're eating rice cakes on something. Hey, Diva, what did I miss? Because I know Jeff and Stix, I know Ben called off Monday, so I didn't have to worry about Ben going off the cliff.
You know how Jeff gets on everybody's nerves, he said.
Did he behave?
So I take it you did not listen to the show.
Oh, I was on vacation. Why would I do that?
Okay, because at least if you don't listen to the archives, at least you won't fire him until maybe later.
Because you texted me and told me that you couldn't hear, and I told you to text Jeff. I meant that. I wasn't working.
Ooh, no, they were okay.
They were okay? How about Sticks? Because, you know,
I don't know. I'm mad at
when
Sticks.
I leave him home alone.
No, he was good. He reined Jeff in a couple times. I don't know, maybe it was him sitting there. He reined Jeff in. You know, Jeff can go out there, be out there. But they were good. Good shows.
Okay. Good show. Good. That's good. Well, it's good to be home. I've got a guest coming in at 12. At 10.
I was going to say that. I don't know about you, but I'm going home at 12.
I got a guest coming in at 10, and he's going to talk about the Affordable Health Care Act.
Oh, good.
And then at I want to talk. I've got to talk about Dianne Feinstein and the CIA. I have not, and then somebody's going to have to give me some of the details of it.
Well, I don't know all the details of it, but as soon as I saw it, you know what it brought me to mind?
What?
You ever see the movie Enemy of the State?
Yes.
Remember when they bugged the congressman that wanted to bug everybody else's hotel room? That's exactly what it reminded me of.
Well, actually,
she wants to bug everybody else, but she don't like it when she's getting bugged.
This is the issue. Snowden made an appearance at the convention out in Texas. South by Southwest.
Right.
And so he made and I've got some friends who are out there, and they're geeky. And we need to really understand what the overreach of this spying thing is real.
Mm-hmm.
It's really bad.
Yeah.
And we really need to deal with it and understand that you can't have it both ways, but in not having it both ways, you're going to have to know that they should not be spying on the American people without the American people knowing.
Well, I mean, the thing that drives me crazy about all this is they disarm you, they make it so you can't protect yourself, then they want to spy on you to protect you.
So they're going to protect you.
They're not going to protect me. They can't protect me. The police can't protect me. They can't protect me from terrorism. The best protection is your own self-defense, your own protection, protecting yourself. An armed populace is a safe populace. I'll bring this back again. If everybody that wanted to carry a gun on 9/11 would have been allowed to carry a gun on the airplane, it never would have been attempted. Period. All this stuff is because they're afraid. They don't want to let you be free.
Well, I agree with you on some areas, and I disagree on some. We have to make sure that people who are carrying guns are not just carrying guns.
Well, absolutely.
And I say it this way. Down in Florida, I meant to bring that. I'll do that tomorrow.
Okay.
Down in Florida, they are trying to put legislation on the ballot. Yesterday was election day down there.
Mm-hmm. We got another Republican.
Who?
The special election. The sink woman lost.
Really?
Yeah.
And I want and they want to put legislation on the ballot that will allow teachers to carry guns in the classroom.
If they're properly trained.
But this is. Then I don't have a problem with teachers actually having access to a gun in the classroom. But you better make sure the teacher's not crazy either.
Well, I agree. I mean, that's why you have training.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why you have a psychological evaluation before you allow it.
You got to do more than psychologically evaluate them because, you know, crazy shows up late.
Well, you don't give them carte blanche. I mean, you recertify every so often, every year. I would say you would, with a teacher, you would probably recertify before the beginning of every school year.
But a good psychological exam can go a long way, unless the person is narcissistic. It's very hard to hide who you truly are during a psych evaluation.
I mean.
See, they wouldn't let me care.
If I was in charge, everybody that's discharged from the United States military would be authorized to carry a firearm, honorably discharged, I should say, was authorized to carry a firearm on active duty, would be given the same concealed carry right as an FBI agent.
No.
Why?
No. No.
If you're honorably discharged,
no.
Why not?
Because some people are not in long enough.
Well, but then also, sometimes an honorable discharge does not show
your mental state,
like, yes, history either.
But I know some crazy people that have been in the military. Mm-mm. They're crazy. They're wacky. Mm-mm.
If they can carry a gun in the military, why can't they carry a gun on the street?
Because the military will shoot you down.
It's not the same, Sticks. It's not the same.
I mean, if you have PTSD and you come home, and you're honored, I mean, people that have PTSD are honoring, they have an honorary discharge.
But people with PTSD can get concealed carry licenses in the state of Ohio.
That's true.
My ex-husband was diagnosed with PTSD, and he suffers from it bad. I would not want him to have a concealed carry.
Mm-mm.
I would not want him to have any guns anywhere. And he was honorably discharged. And if you see him, you would think, oh, there's nothing wrong with him. He's fine. But there are moments when he's not fine. So, no.
Mm-mm. Everybody don't need a gun.
There's a lot of people who would. Where's my buddy Eric? We had a good conversation Friday.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I like that guy.
Good guy.
I'm going to take him down to Dad's and shoot groundhogs.
That would be fun. Take pictures.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to that either.
I'm going to get you to the gun range.
Okay.
And that's right. You mentioned once before you like to go to the gun range.
Mm-hmm. I'm just not going out and shooting vermin. Absolutely not. Why would I do that on my downtime? No. I'm a city girl. Have you seen Green Acres?
Mm-hmm. You're Ava Gabor.
Absolutely.
Or was it Zsa Zsa or Ava?
Mm-hmm. Oh. But they were a Gabor. I'm a Gabor.
Okay.
Green, I mean, I do farm.
You ain't going to milk cows?
I do it once or twice. But as a living? For a hobby? No.
Oh, I grew up milking cows, and I ain't milking no more cows either.
But I tell you what I do want to do. I do want to get me a raised garden.
Raised beds?
Mm-hmm. I do want to do that. While I was in Florida, I found out that asparagus takes like 3 years to actually grow. Man, so.
Yeah, we need to start growing asparagus, too. It's not cheap to buy.
You understand?
We're on this vegetable diet stuff, and yeah, we're reallocating the garden as we speak.
And as I said to you guys, you know, I'm trying to lose weight. I threw all that out the window while I was gone. I shouldn't have done that. But anything that I wanted, I ate.
Well,
that's what I said. What?
No, I'm just glad to see you back. You look happy.
I am. You're really glowing. I am. I got sun. Vitamin D was everywhere. I walked on the beach every morning.
I think that was cruel, though. I get up. Was it Sunday morning? Saturday morning. Saturday morning or Sunday morning? I get up. I flip on my computer. I flip on Facebook, and there's Tracy rubbing it in. It's 40 below here, and she's got pictures of the ocean and the beach.
It was beautiful.
Well, I'm sure it was.
And I want you guys to let know I was okay.
But you didn't have to rub it in with the pictures.
Yeah, I did. You had to see that.
Actually, Paula and I are going to do that next January. We're going to go down to we're going to take the camper and go to Key West.
I found out why people snowbird. I understand it. I didn't understand it. I really didn't. I know now.
Mm-hmm.
I really know. It was wonderful.
I imagine. How long did it take you to thaw out? 8 hours?
Mm-mm. By the time I went through Chicago and all the plane all over the country, I was thawed by the time I get there.
We had a similar thing happen to us when we went to when we went out to see our daughter the last time. We got up to Cleveland at the airport, and the flight attendant reported off sick, so they couldn't fly the airplane. And so they rescheduled it for 2 hours later, which we had a cheap ticket too, which screwed up everything.
Well, cheap tickets are good when they work, but boy, when they don't.
So we ended up going to Rapid City, South Dakota, instead of Gillette, Wyoming. And our daughter picked us up there. It was about 2.5 hours from where she lives.
Ooh. So they tried to get me in to go into Fort Lauderdale, and it would have just been too high up.
Yeah, well, that's the thing with us. We'd have lost everything. I mean, you just couldn't get there from here.
I did go to Del Rey.
Okay.
And it was really nice. And we went there one evening.
Yeah.
And it was really, really nice. Came home with some great ideas. I don't know who can do them, because I don't have time for that, but it was some great ideas.
Crafty stuff?
No. Economic development.
Oh, okay.
And what's up with the earthquakes I heard? Somebody said we had...
Yeah, I guess we had earthquakes last weekend. I didn't feel them.
From the fracking?
No. Just because the earth moves.
You guys go tell somebody.
Oh, we got into that discussion the other day.
But when was the earthquake?
But you would think that since that fault disturbance, that earthquakes might become a regular thing in the valley now.
But that was only that one, just that one place, Diva. What you got to remember is those wells are not drilled. Those wells are not drilled into bedrock.
Yeah, but one fault
disposal wells. There's a couple of hundred disposal wells in the state of Ohio. There's 16,000 oil wells in Ohio.
Six. Once faults start to move and shift, they don't settle back in place constantly.
Well, there's 10,000 earthquakes a year in California. So
that's because they sit on fault lines and the tectonic plates and everything. Yeah, that's natural for that area.
Do you know there was an earthquake in Ohio that rearranged the Ohio River back in the late 1800s?
Probably so.
440, good morning. How are you?
I'm fine. You were mentioning the gardening. I want you to take a look at something online. You can find it real easy. It's called Lasagna Gardening.
Spell it.
Just like lasagna.
Oh, lasagna.
Yeah. It's called Lasagna Gardening. It's called layered gardening. You do not have to dig anything. I want you to look that up. It's real easy to do, and you won't believe the type of vegetables that you're going to get. I've been doing it for the last 8 or 9 years, and I'll tell you what, you won't believe it. You just won't believe it. My tomato plants are 8 foot tall.
Really? It's called lasagna gardening.
Yes.
I'm looking at it now.
Yeah. Go under search. There's a lady that came up with that because she was older. She was in her 70s, and she came up with it, and she was very poor. Anyhow, she's now a millionaire.
Really?
Yes. In her 70s. She made no money until she was in her 70s.
Wow.
Now she's a millionaire. I can't think of her name, but it's there.
I'm looking at it right now, so I'll do some research on it. So what makes it so different?
Yeah. You don't have to dig.
Well, why don't you have to dig? My question is, do you have to weed the garden and get the weeds out? Are there weeds, or does it matter about your soil?
The great thing about it is that there's hardly any weeds. What you do is you layer it, and the bottom layer is either cardboard or thick newspaper. And what you do is you put it along the side of your house or along the side of your garage or along a fence line. You don't have to do the whole yard thing. You just do it that way, and then on top of it you don't put any kind of food on there. You would put something like grass clippings, leaves, anything like that. And you just layer it up.
And it's called lasagna gardening.
Yes, ma'am.
No dig, no toil, organic gardening method that results in rich, fluffy soil with very little work from the gardener.
Yep.
That's pretty good.
I wanted to tell you that. Yes, ma'am. You wouldn't believe the amount of vegetables that I get. I give them away to my friends in the neighborhood.
You have
just
friends?
I have so many. I get so much, I give it away. They love me for it, too. Especially
I'm quite
the girls.
Sure. There you go.
We trade. No, I'm kidding.
See, there you are so bad. Did you behave while I was gone?
I did yesterday.
Oh. Okay.
Hey, I was good. I was good.
Okay. You were good.
You had a good vacation, huh?
Yeah, I did. Yes, I did. It's my first time being in Florida for vacation. I've gone there for conferences.
That's right. You went down there for the convention.
Yeah. What'd you say?
Sometimes you just need, not even Florida. Sometimes you just need to get away.
Away.
Clear your head. To clear your head, it changes your perspective on a lot of things, and it's just it is. It's good for your head.
I told my mom last night when I got home, I was getting stale.
Yes. Yep.
And it gave me a refreshment.
Yep.
And I needed it.
Yeah. Different perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, you don't even have to go to Florida. If you go to Pennsylvania or somewhere, just get away from the same old routine.
When the weather's warm, we've got a lot of nice little getaway places right close.
Sure.
No.
All right, I'm going to leave.
I'm going back to Florida.
Why?
I'm getting off. I'll call later.
Hey, thanks for calling in. You know what? Why am I getting
$7,500 a minute is leaving New York State for Florida.
Listen, anybody in their right mind would leave New York State for Florida in the wintertime?
Well, it's moving there permanently. Get away from the taxation. $7,500 a minute.
Wow.
I forget how much there's.
How many people leaving from Ohio? Because we have a lot of people from Ohio going there also. I'm not going to pick on New York, and Ohio is just as bad.
Yeah, but how many people from Ohio move there permanently?
They do. They change retirees.
Oh, change their residency.
They change
stay there 6 months in one day.
Pretty much. They really change their. They,
I don't. I mean.
They do.
I plan on doing the same thing with Wyoming. They have no state income tax either.
See? See what I mean?
In fact, when they said when LeBron left.
Yeah.
I forget how many million dollars that the fact that Florida has no income tax saved him. Like getting a pay raise.
I talked to some people down there, and they're telling me that LeBron's going to leave Florida and come back to Ohio.
Oh.
Think so?
I don't know.
Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. I'm going to take a break real quick. I'll see you on the other side. The number is 347-945-5229. It's open mic until my guest comes. And then when I come back, I want to talk about Dianne Feinstein. So I want to get into that a little bit more in depth because, you know, I don't like the erosion of the Constitution where they are spying on us and spying on Congress. And now Congress says, oh, my God, the building's on fire because now you're spying on me. It's okay for you to spy on them, but don't spy on me. I have a little bit of problem with the hypocritical mindset of our public leaders that think that it's okay until it happens to them. That's not a good public leader.
That they do everything, though, Tracy. The health care law, they exempted themselves from that.
Well, they're not stupid.
They exempt themselves from everything. They create laws for the rest of us to live under, and then they exempt themselves from them.
I'm still trying to find out why they have a...
I guarantee you a congressman can carry a gun in Washington, D.C.
Well, it's for their safety. They have their own police force. They have their own police.
Do you know there's a guy in Washington, D.C. they sent a SWAT team to his house, and they found a spent shotgun shell, and he's facing 5 years for a spent shotgun shell. That's how crazy D.C. is.
Hey, Private Colin, how are you? I'll take you before I go on my break. Good morning.
He's not talking.
Well, I'll be right back.
Everyone faces challenges in their lives. Handling it on our own sometimes is too overwhelming, but Turning Point Counseling can help. Turning Point offers the highest quality, individualized, confidential behavioral health care. Our professional and caring staff can help you or your loved one get started on the road to recovery today. Turning Point Counseling, because behavioral health care is health care. Don't wait. Visit our website for more information or call today for care. Everybody faces challenges in their lives. Sometimes these challenges can be too much to handle on our own. That's where Turning Point Counseling can help for depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, drug and alcohol abuse and addiction, personality disorders, crisis intervention, and more. Turning Point also provides residential services in our Crisis Stabilization Unit for those who need inpatient care. Turning Point Counseling Services, helping you on the road to recovery.
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingley Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingley offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingley, it's not clean. Kingley Hand Wash and Wax.
Fit family. Unique. Individualized, and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you, with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austin Town receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for, with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce, the full cup of love.
Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
If you love the food and the homemade traditions of the Amish community, then the Valley Marketplace on South Avenue in Boardman is something you need to know about. From fresh baked breads and pies, fresh fruit and produce, to Amish-made furniture and gifts. The Valley Marketplace on South Avenue in Boardman, right next to the Georgetown. Visit us online at thevalleymarketplace.com. Open Thursday, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m., Friday, 9 to 8, and Saturday, 8 to 4. Shop early on Saturday till 10 p.m. and take 5% off select foods and items.
Mark Levin is on the radio.
We are going to come at you politically. I wish I could do everything possible to sabotage your agenda, because your agenda is anti-American, anti-free market, and anti-private property, because your agenda is an attack on the individual. I personally will do whatever I can to sabotage such an agenda, to obstruct it, to divert it, because I'm coming after you all the time.
Weekdays from 6 to 9 p.m. on News Talk 600 WSOM. We're back with Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM, 347-945-5229, or toll-free 1-800-530-WSOM, online at tracyandfriends.com or 600WSOM.com. Now, here's Tracy.
Well, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. It is 44 minutes off the hour at 9 o'clock here on the 12th of March, 2014, and I have a guest in the studio, and his name is Bill Schofinski. Say that again.
Schofinski.
Uh-oh. Almost. Let's see
she
how...
She butchers everybody's name. She should have been here the day we had Masad Ayoub on her.
That would be a good one.
Yeah.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure to have you. And he's from the Chase Agency, and it's located over on 725 Borman Campbell Road in Building Q.
Correct.
And he's going to talk to us about the Affordable Health Care Act. He had the nerve to put Obamacare on here, and I guess it's coined that.
The president has mentioned that he prefers that, actually. So most people understand it as the Affordable Care Act or Obamacare, but...
Most people don't know the difference between the two.
Well, actually, they did a thing I saw. They were walking around asking people which one was better, Obamacare or the Affordable Care Act.
And they said, oh, the Affordable Care Act, absolutely.
Yeah.
I think that's part of why we're involved, is that there is a ton of confusion from A to Z about what this all is, how it works, how to get enrolled in particular. We've helped hundreds of people at this point successfully enroll in the plans, help them understand which plan is best for them, how it works. But that's kind of what we're doing right now.
Well, you know, I'm all about information, and I want to know. Tell me what we're confused about. Tell me, because I'm looking at your individual marketplace.
Right. We've partnered with a company that we've represented for many years, Medical Mutual of Ohio.
Good insurance.
They are, yes. Northeastern Ohio company. So some local ties. They've done a great job. They're one of the few companies out there that have not changed their networks for the Affordable Care Act plan. So, as an example, my wife is a school teacher here in Mahoning County. So, of course, we have the union teachers insurance. We use the same network now as the Affordable Care Act folks who enroll with Medical Mutual. So they did not change the network, which is huge. You have a vast network with Medical Mutual. Medical Mutual, like all the companies now, are offering the metal plans, gold, silver, and bronze. They are compliant plans which have the minimum essential benefits, meaning that all the benefits that are required by the Affordable Care Act are covered in these plans.
Okay.
Several different tiers, and that's a good thing.
So you have options.
Sure, right. You know, that the very healthy young person does not need the same rich benefits as, let's say, the 60-year-old type 2 diabetic with multiple medical conditions. So
okay.
It's not a one-size-fits-all plan or benefits. It's tailored to fit your specific needs.
So let me ask you this. A 40-year-old person,
okay,
who is diabetic,
yes,
and has hypertension.
Okay.
Where would they come in at? And I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit.
Sure. No, that's fine. we should probably talk about the government subsidies, because that plays a major role in how much they're actually paying out of pocket each month.
So what is a government subsidy? Explain that.
A government subsidy is money that's available to pay for a portion or all of your medical premium.
Based on your income?
Yes.
So where would I fit? What's the threshold for an individual, not a family?
Each person is different, but generally speaking, subsidies start at about $16,000 minimum. You have to earn at least $16,000 a year. If you don't earn $16,000 a year, the system sends you to the Ohio Medicaid. Top end on an individual, generally speaking, mid-$30,000s. So if you earn between and $30,000 as an individual or
mm-hmm.
one person, you're going to qualify for a subsidy.
Okay.
So if you're making $16 an hour, you will not qualify for any subsidies.
$16?
That's $32,000
a year. Some. $30,000 top end. You know, are you going to get a full subsidy? No. Okay,
do you get a full subsidy between $15,000 and $30,000?
A full subsidy would be between
$15,000
and $30,000.
Right.
Not full. How about if we use an example?
Yes.
Just the other day, yesterday, I enrolled a 26-year-old male who earned $16,000 and some change. His premium at the end of the day was about $50 out of pocket for a $100 deductible plan. So he was receiving in the neighborhood of about $180 a month in government subsidy.
Okay.
I don't know if that helps a bit or not.
No, I'm trying to find out, you know, because, you know, to dispel the myth, depending on how much you make, $16,000. Okay,
average income in the country is like $35,000.
Right.
So is a person making average income going to qualify for a subsidy?
Only if they have family. If they don't have family, no. Right.
That's pretty accurate. Yeah.
Yeah. Because if you have children or you know a family, and the threshold is different because now you could add them into
household.
It. Right.
Right.
Per household.
Yes.
People like me, you're hit.
A family of four in Mahoning County earning $85,000, they would qualify for some subsidy.
Family of four making $85,000 a year?
Correct, yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Two older enrollees in their 60s, maybe earning $50,000 to $60,000, very large subsidy. The subsidy is not only based on your income, but also on your age, too.
But if you're old enough for Medicare, does this apply to you?
Not at all.
No.
No. Okay. Yeah. Age 60.
But 60s would be 60 to 65.
Right. Right.
Well, the twilight years.
Not for us.
What do you mean?
57 for you and me.
No. I'm retiring at 62.
Yeah, but you're not going to get Medicare until you're 67 because you're the same age as I am, and they moved a bar on us.
No. I want my money. No. No. Just because
a lot of people our age don't know that. They want to bar on us from 65 to 67.
I want to enjoy my retirement. I'm not trying to work until I'm set. No.
That's a great plan.
Sure.
Let me ask you this. When I call you, what do I need to have? What do I need to do?
You know,
for people to call you, because you're here to sell your agency and let people know that they don't have to go on the Internet.
Yes.
They don't have to go through all that, but they can actually call you and you can help them actually get the benefits that they need.
Yes, absolutely. Our agency number is 330-726-3300. And what I'd like to do is have people who are not insured or who have some questions, maybe they should look at these Affordable Care Act plans, give us a call. Generally speaking, a five-minute conversation gets us heading down the right path. I'm going to ask a handful of questions, you know, how old are you, what's your situation, do you have children, dependents, do you have employer coverage available? Then we'll talk a bit about income, where you fit, if you qualify for a subsidy. And from that point, you know, we can schedule an appointment at the office. Some of these go really quick. I mean, we have actually processed enrollments online for people under 10 minutes. Some are a little bit more complicated, obviously, but
can we do this by phone?
Yes. Yes, we can do that over the phone. What we do, and again, we've enrolled hundreds at this point. We've kind of mastered the system. We know the ins and outs at this point. I think that the person who sits down at a computer, if they have Internet access, to begin with, can become very frustrated using healthcare.gov. There are times when the system is down and it's running rough, but what we do is take you from A to Z, including building a client file for you in our office. You know, we're not just trying to enroll someone and walk away. We're going to offer service beyond enrollment through if you have issues with claims or you have questions about your benefits. You know, we are your broker from that point forward.
Can I walk you through this
sure.
chart a little
Absolutely.
Bit? Because I need to get some. I don't know. It goes through the deductibles, and they range on the individual market on the exchange,
mm-hmm.
Which is the federal exchange.
Yes.
It goes from $500. Because
right.
the silver has $100 copay.
Right.
I'm sorry, deductible.
Yes, one of the silver plans.
The silver plans go from 100 to 2,000.
Right, and if you'll notice, and we'll talk through that, on the silver plans, if you qualify for a subsidy to start with, and your income is between 139 and 150% of the federal poverty limit, you also qualify for what's called cost sharing, which means that the deductible is bought down for you. So you end up with, you know, if you're in that instance, which the 27-year-old who we spoke of a few minutes ago was in that situation, and he ended up with a $100 deductible plan with a $1,000 maximum out of pocket, which at the end of the day, you know, that's kind of similar to an old steel mill sort
right.
of union benefit. You know, there's a lot of myths out there about, well, there's only a $6,000 deductible plan.
No, there's no multiple.
Right, yeah, that's absolutely true. And a lot of people...
But what is the difference between the silver and the bronze? Because the bronze is wacky.
Yeah.
There are people walking around with bronze plans, and the bronze plan has a deductible of $5,000 and $6,000.
Right. And to be honest with you, Tracy, in a lot of instances, that bronze plan is very suitable. You know, I'm a believer in not overpaying an insurance company. If you're a young, healthy person, or for that matter, middle-aged healthy person who takes very good care of themselves and doesn't want to overpay for a medical plan that they're probably not going to use, that $6,000 bronze plan is actually pretty good. Large deductible, yes, but if the chances of you not having a claim is good, why pay the insurance company for that? And the $6,000 deductible plan, if you'll notice, is also a 100% plan after deductible. So if you did have the, God forbid, major event in your life and you needed to have a reconstructive knee surgery, you know that your costs are capped at $6,000 for that benefit year.
What is coinsurance?
Coinsurance is the amount that you pay and the insurance company pays once the deductible is met.
So it says, like it says ER copay. And it says, I'm looking at the silver plans and the bronze plans. One's a deductible, and it says deductible and coinsurance. What does that mean?
The silver and bronze plans do not have co-payments. Everything that you do goes toward your deductible.
It's like an HMO.
Well, an HMO is
okay.
is based more on how you utilize the providers.
Okay.
But in this case, this would be more like an HSA.
Okay.
That I think is where you're going, where you deal with your deductible. It's a very simple mechanism where prescription drugs, doctor's office visit, hospital, emergency room, urgent care visits all go toward your deductible first. Most people are accustomed to having a traditional PPO plan where they have a doctor's office copayment and a prescription drug copayment. In this case, the Gold plan is the only plan that offers that.
Okay.
The Silver and Bronze plans, all those services are going to go toward deductible first. Then you would pay coinsurance.
What's coinsurance?
Okay.
I need to explain the coinsurance.
That's fine. Sure. Let's look at the $500 deductible Silver plan. And I'll paint a picture here for you.
Okay.
I'm not wishing this on you, but, you know, you're working, doing your gardening that you were speaking of
Uh-oh.
Earlier, and you twist up your knee and you need to go into an ER, have an X-ray and maybe a CAT scan. Your
right.
medical bill is $1,000.
Okay.
All right, so you're going to be responsible for the first $500 of the $1,000. So $500 comes out of your pocket, goes toward your deductible, and satisfies your deductible for the year. Now, you're going to go to a 90-10 coinsurance, where the company is going to pay 90% of the remainder, and you will pay 10%.
Okay.
So in your case, now you've got another $50 out of your pocket, and you've settled that claim. You do that, in this case, until you reach a $2,100 maximum out-of-pocket for the calendar year.
Okay.
Do we get that?
Yes. Then after my $2,100 maximum, then it goes to full payment.
You are covered in full. Yes.
Is that $2,100 plus the five, or is that $500 included in $2,100?
Included in this.
Okay. Included in. Included in. Okay, and that's for your prescription drugs, your office visit, and your ER.
All in-network utilization.
Okay.
In this case, right?
So now, at the end of it, has catastrophic.
Yes, there is a catastrophic plan available. That is for. Generally speaking, there's some.
He says young adults.
Yes, yes, of course. The 30 and under crowd.
That's what I said.
Yes.
Yeah.
Perfect fit, Tracy.
There you go.
Absolutely, yes.
Go ahead and tell me about the catastrophic for young people.
It works. It does. Again, you know, a lot of the younger enrollees out there, to be very honest with you, their focus is not on spending money on medical insurance. So the catastrophic plans limit your doctor's office visits to 3 per year, as far as having a copayment for that. It has a larger deductible out-of-pocket maximum of $6,350 for the year, so the premium or the cost on that is lower.
That would be something you would tie to a health savings account then.
Not the catastrophic plan.
No,
no, no. The bronze HSA. That would be tied to, if you wanted to establish a separate health savings account, you could do that. There's also a gold and a silver HSA as well, too.
Yeah.
And I'm going to take a break in a few minutes, and we'll come back and talk a little bit more. But you have something called MOOP, which is maximum out-of-pocket.
Yes.
What's a MOOP?
That's the most that you would pay in a calendar year, regardless of claims, unlimited. You know, if you had the worst year in the world where you needed to have two reconstructive knee surgeries and some awful heart attack or something like that, the most you would pay in a calendar year would be the maximum out-of-pocket, which is $6,350. That's the maximum that you can pay under the Affordable Care Act.
Hey, you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM AM 600, and we are talking with Bill Skofinski.
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 Yes, we've got it.
From the Chase Agency, and he is located at 725 Boardman Canfield Road in Building Q. And their phone number is 330-726-3300. Again, that number is 330-726-3300. And they are helping you get on the, you know, politics aside, political thought aside, the Affordable Health Care Act is here to stay, whether you like it or not. And so you need to get enrolled. You need to be a participant. It is the law. And people need assistance getting through the minutiae of trying to get access to it. And Chase Agency has found a way, and Medical Mutual is a fabulous insurance company. It's mine. And so you want to be partnered with someone who's going to help you get on the exchange so that you have health insurance that you can comply. And it is the law.
Yes.
And so give them a call, and I'll be right back.
that General Motors could have ignored this defect for a decade.
All right, well, who's in the chat room? They turned off the mic and nobody's here.
Valley and read the testimonials at AIWHealth.com. I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one. All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit AIWHealth.com.
Boardman Frame House Gallery, a professional frame shop and art gallery at the Mark Shopping Center in Poland, at Routes 224 and 680. We specialize in original, limited, and antique lithographs of both renowned nationally published artists and local artists. We have over 30 years of award-winning custom design and archival framing. We give your artwork a unique presentation that enhances its value for life. Let your home or office express something individual and unique with a fine art limited edition print, signed by the artist and numbered. You'll find many unique and affordable fine art editions. Visit us in the Mark Shopping Center. Find the Greenwich Workshop Catalog. And for any print or canvas you order, you get 50% off the frame for that fine art edition. Find us on Facebook or call us at 330-758-5795. That's 330-758-5795.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce, the full cup of love.
Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
Michael Savage.
I am opposed to revolution because nobody wins. However, you have to fight a tyrannical government virtually at the same level that they're imposing their tyranny on you. We don't want Syria. We don't want 70,000 or 700,000 dead. We don't want a civil war in America. We don't want to see one-fourth of the male population wiped out in a civil war. Ever.
Weekdays from 3 to 6 on News Talk 600.
I'm Harper Keegan with your headline news. The unemployment rate is looking better for the state of Ohio and the rest of the country, but not so much right here in the Valley. New numbers show the jobless rate for the Youngstown-Warren metro area is 8.2%, an increase of nearly 1% from December. The city of Youngstown alone had the highest January unemployment rate in the area at 10.1%. The U.S. Geological Survey reports a fifth earthquake hit Poland Township. This latest quake, according to officials, was recorded early Tuesday morning at 3 a.m. It was a 2.1 magnitude tremor. The company drilling for oil and gas in the area has halted operations for the time being. And state lawmakers reached a compromise on the Calamity Days topic. A House Senate committee approved a bill yesterday which would provide four extra snow days to districts throughout Ohio. Because of the severe winter this year, many schools across the state have used up their five calamity days. For WSOM News, I'm Harper Keegan.
Here
at Pet Spa Salon on Western Reserve Road, we offer many services to our customers' pets, including bathing, grooming, nail trimming, and we even brush, bathe, and trim cats. Pet Spa Salon uses only all natural products. With 35 years' experience in the business, our expert staff works slowly and gently to put even the most fidgety pets at ease. Come into Pet Spa Salon and get your fur baby looking and feeling great. Open Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. 1122 Western Reserve Road. Call for an appointment.
All year long, you'll find something exciting happening at White House Fruit Farm in Canfield. Of course, there are always fresh, locally grown fruits and vegetables, as well as baked goods and specialty foods, and those donuts worth driving for. And nobody does special events better, so say goodbye to cabin fever and join us for White House Weekend, March 15th and 16th, for plenty of family fun and great food. Everybody loves White House, just south of Canfield, Ohio, on Route 62 at Western Reserve Road.
Saturday morning, the doorbell rings, and like many Americans, I answer it. I open the door, and there's this guy dressed in a banana suit holding a flute. Why me? I say to myself, why do these people always pick me? Then the guy hands me his card, A1 Banana Control. He says, you've got a banana problem, and I'm the answer. And I'm thinking, hey, pal, I'm the answer. You're the problem when a real live banana drops out of the light fixture and lands on its feet. Four little feet and hightails it right out the door. They sense my presence, this guy says to me. Then he goes piping around the living room, scaring bananas literally out of every corner, opens up the piano, tra-la-la's it right up the stairs. The next thing I know, the banana man is being escorted down the stairs on the backs of hundreds of bananas. As they stampede by, he flips me the bill and yells back, remember, A1, we are bananas. Imagine that. You just did. You saw it on the radio.
Get your business noticed. Call 330-783-1000.
Does your furnace need repair, your house need cleaning, or maybe you're ready to update your kitchen? Big or small, whatever your home improvement need, log on to handyman.homeadvisor.com. Home Advisor is a free online resource with instant access to top-rated remodelers, maids, handymen, roofers, and many other home contractors. It's easy and it's free. Just go to handyman.homeadvisor.com. Handyman.homeadvisor.com. That's handyman.homeadvisor.com.
1-800-530-WSOM or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. If anybody knows Pharrell Williams, you need to call him and let him know I owe him some money because I'm not giving up a song yet. And I guess while I was gone, they didn't give it up either, so we're in the right place. If I have any questions, if you want to ask a question, please do. The number is 347-945-5229. We are not beating up on the insurance man today. What we're doing is we're getting information from the insurance man today so that we can make a good conscious decision about what's going on in our life. You gotta do that, because if you don't do it, if you don't take part in it, you know, we were talking during the break, and Bill Skofinski,
yes,
from Chase, the Chase agency here in Boardman, again, the number is 330-726-3300. If you don't do it and you go to the hospital,
yes,
the question is, They'll take the bullet out, but will they actually stitch you and just put a Band-Aid on it?
Generally speaking, the answer is those who are uninsured are going to be stabilized and shown the door, whereas someone who obviously has a qualified medical insurance plan is going to receive the best treatment. So, you know, the answer that I do hear, you know, I'm not paying any money for health insurance, or I obviously can't afford this. I'm going to go uninsured, take my chances, and they'll take care of me. You know, hospitals are not in a position to lose money. You know, this is corporate America. This is capitalism. I'm not saying they're bad people, but they also have a right to be profitable and be able to pay these professionals who have spent many years.
You've got to pay. Listen, nothing. I was having this conversation while I was gone. Nothing in America is free. You may not be paying for it out of your pocket, but someone is paying for it down the line. Because if you think the trash gets picked up by people who don't get paid, everybody's crazy.
That's 100% accurate in my mind. And you know, everyone has a different mindset. Maybe today a much different mindset than 10, 20, or 30 years ago. But I'm a firm believer in, you know, having medical insurance being the right thing to do. And if indeed your income is low, agree or disagree with the Affordable Care Act and the plans, it's been set up to assist you. The Medicaid role has been expanded greatly. There are people out there who are qualified for Medicaid but just haven't taken the time or the steps to get that coverage.
That is true.
And, you know, if you don't want to go that route, which I have had people do there are other options. You can pay for medical insurance. You can get help through a government subsidy. I think my overall advice would be pick up the phone and call. Don't let this overwhelm
And you'll let me know what I need to do.
Right,
because
if
I tell you that I only make, you know, $15,000 a year and I'm a single person, you'll tell me that I need to go and enroll this way.
Right.
You can give me that information.
And I can't enroll you in a Medicaid plan. However, I can give you access. I can show you the website. I can give you the link. Telephone number. And at the end of the day, if you're entitled to that coverage and you need that coverage, why not?
You need it. They know my story. I didn't have insurance when I went in for – I was healthy. I was 40 years old.
Yes.
And I don't go to the doctor before the sniffles. Why would I have insurance?
Right.
And when I was diagnosed with MS, I said, oh, this is a bright idea. Let me go get insurance.
Mm.
And they were like, no. Well, you can get it, but this is what you'll pay.
Sure, yeah.
And I was like, huh?
Right, more than most mortgage payments is what they
Ooh.
Wanted at that point. Right, yeah. And that is one of the very, very good things about the Affordable Care Act is that now
everyone will be covered.
You can get covered, regardless of your medical conditions. You know, I had people who were waiting for years. They wanted to pay for this coverage.
But they couldn't.
And now they can.
Yeah, and I will say this. That is one thing that I can say, and I disagree with the – y'all know I don't like it. But they should have always allowed people who had pre-existing conditions access to health care.
Yes.
But we used to have
something
called the high-risk
pool. Hold on, Pianki.
The high-risk pool.
But even with the high-risk pool, that the cost of the high-risk pool was larger than your mortgage.
Well, the high-risk pool that was put in place about 3 years ago had very affordable premiums, actually. HEPA plans that you were talking about, that you were looking at, those were very expensive. But the high-risk pool had a major issue in that you needed to be uninsured for a six-month period in order to enroll in one of these plans. Well, people lose houses during that six-month period. So that was the major problem. I personally thought that the high-risk pool was a great idea if it could have been tweaked.
They could have made it better.
I thought that would have been a great place for people to go, to the people who wanted the insurance, not the people who were just flat not interested in paying a nickel for medical insurance, but the people who were very sick who needed the coverage. Because at the end of the day, the uninsured person, and this is sort of, you know, how our country works sometimes, you can't agree with it, they pay more for medical procedures than the person who has insurance, which is it's crazy. I mean, you don't have the network discounted pricing. So, the high-risk pool, I thought, had a great potential. However, it
went by the wayside.
Yes, indeed.
So what other insurances does your agency sell?
Yeah, we actually are we deem a full service independent agency. The independent piece is that we're not tied to one particular company. We represent hundreds and hundreds of different companies, trying to avoid the round peg square hole thing. What we do is treat each client as an individual to try to find the company, the plans, the products, and, of course, the rates that are going to fit and make the best choice for you. Full service, meaning that, of course, you know we cover medical insurance. We handle the Affordable Care Act and individual plans. We also do the Medicare plans, the Medicare Advantage, Medicare Supplement. We also have
group, really?
Yes. We have group health insurance, so we work with several, more than several, actually, many local companies here and handle the employee benefits there. That's essentially my focus. We also do auto, home, commercial insurance, again, independent, represent all the major companies out there, life insurance, and we have a branch where we do investments, retirement planning. The general agent, Chuck Booms, he is licensed to do securities trading. So we really feel as if it's kind of an A to Z agency. We can help you not just with, of course, the Affordable Care Act plans, but it's happened quite a bit over the past 3 or 4 months. We've gotten people enrolled and then looked at their home and auto insurance and ended up saving them pretty substantial money there as well, too.
Hey, Pionki, your mic's up.
Yeah, I heard you make the statement about people are going to pay for something somewhere down the road. Well, smart people and intelligent, informed people know how to avoid that. And it seemingly they get punished for being smart. I think that as the gentleman said, there were some flaws in the system, but those particular and isolated flaws should have been corrected rather than coming in with a whole new conglomerate that's enforcing everybody. You know something else Obama just is talking about? He's talking about making overtime available for salaried workers.
I like that idea. I don't know how that works,
well,
but I like that idea.
Well, it's going to bring about other complications. Yeah.
Listen, Bill's going to be here for another 10 minutes, and then I'm going to let him go, and then we can go back to political talk and blow up the place.
Thanks for coming, Bill.
Sure, you bet.
But I wanted him to come in, and he is he's part of our health guide this year.
That's great.
Hold
you
on,
need
here.
It too, Tracy.
With that, they come on my show and talk about their business and what they're doing and what they're selling. And he's promoting the Affordable Health Care Act and being able to service and help people.
Yes.
Help people get enrolled, and that's what it's all about.
The only thing is, because of the law, I can't buy his insurance because I'm in another state.
I know. Hold on, Bianca. I got to let Diva in. Diva's an Ohio resident. Diva can call him. But I wanted to let him get in, and hopefully he'll come back one day.
Sure.
And talk about some more insurance, because as we go through this process, I'd rather have people really talk to us about the facts of it in some areas. I know we have our political differences.
Yes.
But then the facts come in and say, you need to know this, because if you don't know, ignorance will kill you.
Yes.
And you need to buy your insurance from someone who you can trust. You need to go and find somebody that you can talk to, and you need to call somebody that will give you an answer that's going to benefit you, even if you disagree with it. Go ahead, Diva.
Well, I don't qualify for the ACA plans because I'm considered poor, really poor. But
okay.
My question to you would be, what is the enrollment period? And if you miss the enrollment period, current enrollment period, which is March 31st, I believe,
yes.
Do you have to wait until the next enrollment period? Or
yes.
if you lose your insurance after the enrollment, say you have insurance somewhere else and you lose it, do you have to wait until the next enrollment period to get coverage under Obamacare?
Just so I split the hairs so that we're all on the same page. The open enrollment period ends on the end of this month. You'll need to be enrolled at that point unless you have what's called a qualifying event, which the situation that you mentioned or described would be a qualifying event because you've lost your other medical coverage. So that opens up a new open enrollment window. I'm sorry. So if you did lose your medical coverage, that would create what would be called a special enrollment period by having what's called a qualifying event. So you would then have the ability to get enrolled between now and the end of the year under the qualifying event. I hope that answers that.
Yes, it did.
Diva?
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, it did.
Sure.
Local call, your mic is on.
Yes. So what if you are someone who has exhausted unemployment benefits, has had no income, and is living on savings, which is running out? What do you do then? You don't have any money to pay for any kind of...
You would make it. You would be part of the supplemental plan, wouldn't you? Or Medicaid.
It depends. The number that's being used to determine whether you're subsidy eligible or not is a very, very, very loose projection, because they're asking you what your 2014 projected income will be. And in your situation, you don't know exactly, because you could end up with a job making ample money within the next 2 or 3 months. So you could project that you would have an income of X, Y, or Z. You don't really know. I mean, in your instance right now, I guess, do you have medical coverage right now?
No.
Okay. Have you applied for Medicaid? Have you looked at that as an option?
No. I'm not old enough.
Well, Medicare is for age 65 and older.
Well, I don't have any children dependents or anything like that.
Yeah.
I have to have all that to...
Not now.
Not that I'm a huge proponent of Medicaid and whatnot, but it is out there for people, I think, who are maybe in your situation. And the enrollment or the qualifications have been greatly expanded. So.
And you can get health benefits, even though, but you cannot get cash benefits.
Correct, yeah.
You can get health benefits, but you can't get cash benefits. And you may even be able to get a direction card.
I would look into that if I were you, based on what you're telling me. And unless you're relatively confident that you're going to have gainful employment in 2014, then you should call us. But if you're convinced that, you know, this struggle is going to continue, then I think you should take a look at Medicaid as an option.
And what I'll do is I'll get somebody on from Job and Family Services.
Perfect.
Because we do need to talk about your assets.
Yes.
Because that's another issue when it comes to Medicaid.
Right.
Because if you have assets that total a certain dollar amount, you're really in a gray area, even if they're not liquid.
Yes. I think it's worth mentioning that assets are not looked at in determining a subsidy amount on the Affordable Care Act.
Oh, that's good.
Yes.
Well, then are you exempt from this March 31st deadline if there's no way for you to pay for an insurance?
No.
Unfortunately not. However, if you were enrolled in Medicaid, that would count as qualified coverage, and you would be exempt from the penalty then.
Dina, I'll get somebody on, hopefully before the end of next week, because that would be a good conversation, because that does bring up a question.
I'm thinking about, I have some relatives that, you know, that's the scenario I'm describing, and I just didn't know what to do. I mean, you know, if they needed care, probably we in the family would try to help.
Sure. I think it would behoove you to maybe give the agency a call.
Give the number out.
Yeah, it's 330-726-3300. Even a five-minute conversation off the air where we can maybe get into a little bit more, obviously, your confidential information and see exactly where you are, and maybe we can help make a recommendation from that point.
Thank you very much.
You bet.
Hey, thanks a lot. Yeah, that's a good question. Because when you have hard assets, insurance policies or anything on that order, it does change when you go to apply for Medicaid.
Yes.
And how do you do that when you're mandated for help?
And I think, right, and I agree, I think that, you know, we can't paint with a broad brush. Every
situation is different. And that's
right.
Why they need to call.
Yes, indeed. And
that's why they need to call.
Because can help out a lot, right.
If everybody's got a different situation, then a cookie-cutter situation like a website won't work, if you ask me.
I think you're exactly right.
I hate to tell you that.
Right.
And if you missed the wrong question, and I will say this, I've taken some online surveys, some online exams, and I've filled out some online forms. And even though you go through the process, there's some things that you are gray about when it comes to answering. And if you answer one question wrong, the computer doesn't think like people still.
You're absolutely correct.
And it will come back with something that you may or may not need.
One wrong click.
Yes.
And now you've been jettisoned to,
absolutely,
you're not eligible.
Absolutely.
Right?
Or put you into a program that you shouldn't be in. And you're paying more than you should because you did something wrong. And that's why going through an agent, going through an agency, talking to a person who will go back and, when you answer the question, will go back and ask you another question to make sure that they have the right answer to the question. And just having a sense of assistance.
Yes. We've heard some horror stories. Let's be realistic.
That's real.
I mean, this is a large undertaking, an enormous undertaking that, without question, has its bumps. And we've heard the stories about, well, I applied, I was told I was enrolled, but I wasn't really enrolled. What happened to my application?
I hit the send button.
Right. Or, you know, a batch of applications got lost. Well, you know, having a hard copy application in our agency's files makes all the difference in the world when I can call and go to bat for you with the insurer or with the marketplace and say, hey, where is Tracy's application? And we can work through those issues that way. So I think we offer quite a bit here. I really do.
Well, I want to thank you for coming in and hanging out with us today. It's really an honor, and I want you to come back.
Absolutely. I'll be glad to come
back.
Thank you for having me.
And Bill Skolfinski, he is with the Chase Agency, and the number is 330-726-3300. Easy number.
Indeed.
Easy number. And he is talking about Medical Mutual today. He went through the programs. There's a silver, there's a gold, and there's a bronze plan. And they are without the exchange. And the deductibles are not that high, but they will walk you through what's going to be best for you instead of somebody coming back and saying, this is what you need to do.
Yes.
And you really want to do that. And so I'm encouraging, pass the word, because even if you have insurance, take down the number, spread the word. We spread gossip well. We really do.
Indeed, yes.
Bad news, I say something that's really crazy on here, and we spread bad news. It's very, very good. But this is something that if you have to be enrolled in by the 31st of March, $95, $400 a month, for a year for a family of four, $95 for a single person, that's just I want you to take out your money, get a match, burn it. And that's what it's going to do. And we always scream about this, but you don't want to give away money or you do not want to be mandated. It's going to go on your taxes, which means it's not going away.
The subsidies.
Yes.
Is the subsidy a monthly thing, or do you have to wait until the end of the year and get it in one lump chunk?
No, the subsidy is actually advanced to the health insurance company that you enroll with.
It's a direct payment from the government to the health insurance company.
Right. So
you didn't think they were going to send it to me and then me send it to them, did you?
I've had a few people hoping for that.
What I thought had to happen was I thought you had to pay the full premium all year and then you got it back.
No. I don't even think they've learned that lesson when it comes to college and FAFSA.
No, they haven't figured that one out yet.
You know, you just
we had a neighbor kid that went to Cancun on his student loan.
That's what I'm saying. You haven't figured that out for student loans yet. So we need to talk to the government about some processes of how they do things, but they did get this one right.
Indeed.
Yep. That's one thing they got right with that. They were going to send it directly to the insurance company. the number is 347-945-5229. Bill, any closing remarks? Did I miss anything? Did I forget anything?
No, I thoroughly enjoyed our time here. I appreciate the opportunity.
It's a blast having you on. You're a great guest.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I think we can help. I think that's the overall message don't let this whole thing intimidate you. We've taken people from tears to a good place. So, you know, don't try to go this on your own. I'm not saying you can't or people don't have the capability, but if at the end of the day you get our experience and our knowledge, our record keeping for free.
And I have to say, I learned some things today.
Well, I'm glad.
I learned some things that that I have a more clear understanding of when it comes to the Affordable Health Care Act. So now I can't rant and rave about everything. And again, you know, I didn't like the Medicare Part D. I still don't like it. I don't for the elderly that supplement. I hate that thing. But it is what it is.
Right. And again, not cookie cutter. You know, for some.
And I'm going to have my mom call you because enrollment comes up in December.
Yes, I will be.
Let me ask you this, and I know I'm asking you a real dumb question. Why do they have enrollment periods, and why can't you enroll all year long? Why do they have this thing, this panel time?
Actually, pretty simple if you think about it. If you have the opportunity to enroll at any point during the year, or say, let's just say any first of the month throughout the year, what would be your incentive to enroll prior to being sick? Why wouldn't you just wait until maybe if you got hurt in July and you knew you needed medical care, you would just go in and apply for your insurance and then go to the doctor after that. So what they're doing is avoiding what's called adverse selection or bad risk. And it's fair. It really is.
Because, you know, they do the same thing for us. Is it Medicaid?
Medicare.
Medicare right. expansion.
Right.
And it goes from this, and if you don't like it, you got to go in this window.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they send out these real big books.
They do.
For a lot of old people to read.
And
then they go after kids, and we don't sell insurance, and we're like,
Right. And seniors are inundated with materials during that open enrollment.
They
period.
Really are. It's bad.
Not to cry the blues as the independent insurance agent, but now the open enrollment period for Medicare as well as the Affordable Care Act run at the exact same
yes,
time.
Yes, they do.
So we have some very busy holiday season time coming up here as usual.
So we're going to keep the post office in business.
Indeed. Yes, we are.
They know what they're doing. Listen, I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. Call Bill Skolczynski over at the Chase Agency. His number is 330-726-3300. We'll be right back.
For 15 years, InfoCision has been a part of our area with locations in Austintown, Boardman, and Newcastle. And we stand out from the competition. At InfoCision, we value your hard work and reward you for it. Earn competitive wages, weekly pay and bonus.
You know what happiness is, you clap along if you feel like that's what you want to do.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. We want to thank Bill Skolczynski from the Chase Agency for coming in and hanging out with us. Really was a pleasure having him here, and I hope you learned some things from him. I'm going to keep sticks underlined. You guys played my happy song while I was gone.
Yes, we did. Absolutely, we played the happy song.
Because, you know, just swoop him down, he wouldn't play the happy song. Bill said he was going to come up here and hit me in the head if I kept on playing the happy song. And I didn't listen to it. Now, I sang it, but I didn't listen to it all the time I was gone.
Mm-hmm.
But I did sing it.
You got to sing it because it's stuck in your head. You're probably singing it in bed at night. It's going.
Absolutely. Clap along if you feel like alone without a roof. Absolutely. You got to have a happy song because a happy song is not why I'm happy, but it does give you a sense of happiness. Hey, the number again is 347-945-5229. How you doing, Pianchi?
I'm doing fine. How are you doing?
I'm doing well.
I got my survival skis in the mail. Came in by delivery. Slick Sticks, Tracy. I'm ready.
What are you ready for?
Well, when the time comes.
What time?
You have to be able to plant your own food, your garden, and you want to have good seeds, and so we can carry on without having to depend on the government.
Oh. I'm with you. I'm not going to depend on the government because I don't believe the government's going to. I don't believe the government. I think the government is out of control.
I got my three cans of Survivor Seeds. I gave one to my daughter, and grandson. I've got two, and I'm really. I mean, this is neat to have such a variety of different vegetables.
You stocked up on ammunition too.
Well, Slick, that's a given, isn't it?
But, you know, I was talking to somebody the other day, and they were saying that the reason why, if we have a catastrophic situation in America now, the difference between now and the 20s is that in the 20s, people helped out everybody that was around them. And today, people are so selfish, they will hoard everything for themselves and not help other people out.
I don't know if that's so much the truth, that people just don't know how.
Don't know how to help?
Don't know how. How many families in this country still know how to can?
But you can.
How many? If there was a catastrophe tomorrow, say we entered the hyperinflation thing that I think is going to happen.
Okay.
How many families have enough quart jars in the basement that they could put out a garden and produce enough groceries for them and their next door neighbor and be able to store it?
How many jars do I need? I got two cases.
Three or four hundred.
Do you have 300 or 400 stored?
Oh yeah, we put up 125 quarts of beans a year.
Six. Do you have?
Yeah, my sister does too.
And that's neat.
I'm like Bianchi. Slick. You got a couple hundred in the basement. Do you eat it? Do you rotate them every year? How do you guys?
They're empty by the next year.
You go through a couple hundred a year?
Well, when the kids were home, we did. We don't anymore. But when the kids were home, yeah, we canned 150 quarts of beans a year. And
150
squash.
Yeah. Let me. How much?
That's a can. That's a quart of beans every other day.
I'm just saying, all I can think about is eating that many beans is the amount of flatulence that just
is
in your house.
Green beans.
Green beans.
Don't make green beans. You don't can.
Okay.
Whole beans.
Why can't you
beans.
I gotta take a break. Why can't you care?
Because those are dried beans. I don't know why you would. I mean, you can because.
But they don't go bad anyhow.
Yeah.
I'll be right back.
WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren. The home for afternoons with Tracy and friends. News Talk 600 WSOM.
From Manhattan, I can see firefighters on an extended ladder dousing water from a hose onto a scene that is clearly still smoldering, and it looks as if a building has at least partially collapsed.
Sidewalks for blocks around were littered with broken glass from shattered storefront and apartment windows.
Let's go!
Police urged people to leave. There was a great deal of smoke in a crowded part of Upper Manhattan. The Prime Minister of Ukraine's interim government will hold talks today at the White House with President Obama. World leaders are warning Russia about its military thrust across its border.
The blunt words from the G7 allies are aimed straight at Russia, insisting that any move to make the Crimean Peninsula part of Russia, especially with intimidating Russian troops seizing control there, is without moral force and will not be recognized. All seven nations vow they will have nothing to do with President Putin's G8 summit in June.
ABC News White House correspondent Ann Compton. General Motors facing more legal questions over its recall of more than 1.5 million older compact cars for faulty ignition switches. The problem's been linked to 13 deaths. An expanded search area for the missing Malaysian Airlines jet. This one is hundreds of miles to the north and west of the original search site. Still no sign of that plane 4 days after it disappeared. Malaysia's government's defended its handling of the investigation. A man suspected of stealing an SUV in Colorado with a 4-year-old child inside, then carjacking two other vehicles, is now under arrest. This is ABC News.
If you're a conservative American over 50, then please listen to this important message. Hi, friends. Fran Tarkenton here. Let me tell you about an organization fighting to protect our country from the destructive liberal policies threatening our great nation. AMAC. The Association of Mature American Citizens, with over 1 million members and growing, serves as a strong conservative alternative to the left-leaning AARP. Over the years, I'd become increasingly distrustful of the AARP and its liberal agenda, but their support for Obamacare was the last straw. As a football player, I understood that in order to win, you have to keep fighting. Well, AMAC not only shares my conservative beliefs, but they also share that same willingness to fight to protect those beliefs for generations to come. You deserve better than AARP. AMAC is better. Better for you. Better for America.
Join AMAC today to receive exclusive benefits and discounts. Call 888-950-AMAC or go to teamamac.us to become a member. Call 888-950-AMAC or go to teamamac.us.
Many millions of people suffer from migraines. Many don't want to take pills each day to reduce the pain. Now, says ABC's Larry Jacobs, the FDA has approved an alternative.
It's a battery-powered nerve-stimulating headband that emits a low electrical current to stimulate nerves associated with the pain of migraines. According to the FDA, users may feel a tingling sensation on the skin with the adhesive electrodes applied. A study showed patients using the device had fewer migraines per month than those using a placebo device. It's designed to be used no more than 20 minutes a day by people 18 years and older. Essentially, it's for patients who can't tolerate migraine medications. Larry Jacobs, ABC News.
It's now been 25 years since the birth of the World Wide Web. It began as a government research project. The development of the web eventually allowed the average person to access information over the Internet. I'm Richard Davies, ABC News.
Before Allegra, this was the sound of spring. After Allegra, the season sounds totally different.
Let's
foot.
This spring, don't let pollen hold you back. Non-drowsy Allegra works even at 8 times high pollen levels. Allergy relief begins in 1 hour and lasts for 24.
With Allegra, going outdoors never sounded so good.
Allegra, stop suffering. Start living.
Use only as directed in controlled environment studies using pollen deemed high by the National Allergy Bureau. Visit Allegra.com.
Fit Family. Unique, individualized, and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you, with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austin Town receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for, with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingley Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingley offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingley, it's not clean. Kingley Hand Wash and Wax.
Hurry in to Subway for the featured $5 footlong of March, the classic meatball marinara. Get this fan favorite with peppers, onions, and melty mozzarella along with signature marinara sauce. It's all yours for just $5 all March long. Subway, eat fresh.
Welcome to Tracy and Friends, weekdays from 9 to noon. It's the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll-free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at TracyandFriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. I have missed my song. I don't care, baby, by the way. I even got the words now. Clap along if you feel like a room without a roof.
What's this? I still don't get that.
Clap along.
I don't want a room without a roof. I like a roof. Roofs are good.
No, roofs are limiting.
Roofs keep the water out of it.
That's why you do country. No. Okay. Roof means happiness. A room without a roof means it's unlimited. Feel happy, you want to do. A room without a roof. You want to be that explosive. The number is 347-945-5229, and I'm in studio with Styx. It is open mic, and I'm going to talk about Dianne Feinstein. But I'm stuck. Hey, Styx, you're getting a little rhythm. Because I'm cut along if you feel like a room without a roof. Okay, I'm done. I'll go to the next song. Maybe. I doubt it.
Tracy.
Yeah.
Can I say two things about the ACA?
You can
two
say
things
about
I don't
it.
Like that I'm finding out that I don't like.
Oh.
Is
you're going to lose your
job. If only I had one to lose. One, it does not give people true freedom. You only meaning if you're poor, they're going to kick you onto the government. And I feel like people should have the option to still go through the ACA, the healthcare exchanges, if they have a if they don't want to go through government? Because what I'm finding out now is that Medicaid is not all that it's cut out to be. I know. And two, there are some people who are in that gray area where their income is too low for the exchanges but too high for state Medicaid.
Hey, check this out, Diva. There's a lot of people right there.
That's the way government works.
And that gray area right there is going to slap people in the head. Because did you hear me ask the man? I said, listen, if I own a house and a car, and say I own my home, and I've been blessed enough to get it paid off to be debt free, so I have no mortgage on it, and I own a car, and say my car is a 2008 car, I've paid it off, and it's but the resale value is, say, you know,
it ain't nothing to have a 2008 pickup truck that's still worth $25,000.
There you go. So I got a car worth $25,000, and those are hard assets. But then you tell me but I don't have a job, and I've lost my job, and my savings that I had is now run off.
Mm-hmm.
And you have the situation where now I have an insurance policy, and it has more than $500 on it. And because I'm talking about liquid, you know, if you have a cash value of more than $5,000.
I think the ACA did away with the means test on Medicaid.
What's that mean?
They did away with the means test, the asset test.
I don't know.
I think it did.
No, it didn't. I'm dealing with a family of five who they tried to get on health care through the exchanges. The exchanges directed them to Medicaid. When they tried to apply for Medicaid, they got a denial letter. They made too much money to qualify for state Medicaid.
Because there's a great
it says here bye-bye Medicaid asset test. Affordable Care Act goes a long way towards simplifying Medicare eligibility.
Medicare or Medicaid? Those are two different.
Medicaid.
Okay.
Bye-bye Medicaid asset test. Essentially, the Medicaid expansion under the ACA will broaden Medicaid eligibility for low-income, non-elderly adults without regard to assets.
Okay, so you can't get on.
A major exception for that age group are those with incomes above the threshold but with high out-of-pocket medical costs.
Well, no,
right.
What's this somebody trying to – no, women, hold on. High out-of-pocket medical costs. I'm talking about just going to get insurance.
Right, that's what I'm talking about.
The ACA did away with the asset test for Medicaid.
So you can have a
mean.
There are caveats, though. Existing rules, including the asset test, will continue to apply for individuals obtaining Medicaid eligibility through another program, foster care, SSI, SSDI.
Okay.
So just if you're working poor and you're under the income thing, they don't asset test you anymore.
That ain't bad. That ain't bad. I won't complain then.
But if you're in a state where the Medicaid was not expanded, what do you do? Because not every state
knows.
Medicaid.
Just remember, this
is under the ACA. This is the
right,
ACA
the
law.
ACA, I know the
well,
ACA law, but it says with the Medicaid expansion, not every state expanded their Medicaid. So not everybody – the Supreme Court says that not every state has to accept the new Medicaid expansion guidelines.
Remember, you Libertarian Tea Party people were wacky right now because the Governor Kasich expanded the Medicaid
program. The thing is, according to this article I'm reading, that's not expansion of Medicaid as ineligibility. It's expansion of it changes the standard under which somebody can receive it, which is two different things, if I'm reading this correctly.
No. Medicaid expansion does that.
Because Medicaid is state.
Yes. Without Medicaid expansion, the states can keep it how they want and how it currently was working for them. Not every state accepted the Medicaid expansion. The purpose of the Medicaid expansion was to get more people covered, make more people eligible. Without that guideline, And the Supreme Court already ruled not every state has – states cannot be forced to follow that guideline. So it's voluntary. State has to say, yes, we'll do it.
According to these articles I'm reading, the asset test applies across the entire country.
But she's talking about more than the asset test.
That's all I was talking about was the asset test.
Hold on. I have to look it up. Well, actually, I'm going to have somebody come on. I'll do it that way.
Let's do that.
Let's find somebody. I'll go down to the Job and Family Services
and
pull somebody in. Because I think that would be important. That's important to know.
That sure is important.
Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. And as I said, people, I don't agree. You know, y'all know I don't agree. I don't like it. It ain't a good thing, but it's a law. And
now I can see why you guys don't like the thought of single payer. I like more of I like the ACA. I like a government-private partnership like that. But what I'm finding out with Medicaid is, man, I need glasses. I couldn't get glasses. I had to pay out of pocket for my glasses.
Well, you ought to. So does everybody else.
No, but I'm on Medicaid. So I thought I had vision coverage, but...
But you want everything to be free?
Yeah, under my Medicaid, I thought that's what it was for.
No. But see, this is my problem. If you're on assistance, but this is the issue that I have. There are some things that I can still do, whether it be because of disability, whether because of whatever, and I should be able to do that. So that is, I think someone was talking about the older lady who, I think 440 called in earlier, and he was talking about the lady who started the lasagna gardens. And she did that at 70 years old, and she became a multimillionaire at 70 years old.
Colonel Sanders never fried a chicken until he was 65.
And what happens where you stop with because I have a disability? I may have a disability that I can't go to work on an ongoing basis. I may not be able to sit long, stand long. But there may be some things that I'm still allowed to do, and I should be able to go out and get an income doing that.
I mean, that's the problem with our system.
Still, you have bills that need to be paid. When you're not working, the bills don't stop. So even if you cut corners everywhere else, there are some things you cannot cut corners. And in situations like that, you cannot cut corners. So if you need to see, you need to see. That's an extra expense to someone who is not working, someone who's not able to work, can't
but
really
But what I'm saying
afford.
Is, Diva, there are some things that people are, I mean, you may not be able to work and go to a job, but in 2014, there are jobs where you can work an 8-hour, say 6 hours a day, or even 5 hours a day from your home where you are using a computer and a phone.
No, I can't be on the computer that long. That's why I'm not
I didn't say 8 hours straight.
No.
That's not what I said. I didn't say 6 hours straight. I said between the two. I mean, you might not be able to be on the phone that long. You might not be able on the computer that long. You might not be able to sit that long. You may not be able to do a lot of things, but there are certain things that we can do that should be
You're right. There's things you can't do, but then you have to worry about your income versus if you quite at the position that I am, any income I get can affect my Medicaid. The fact that
that's
I'm still
that's the point.
Having to see
that's
a
what I'm talking about.
On a regular
that's,
on every 3 months.
You're making
and
my
may
point.
Have possibly a future treatment. I'm not making excuses, but that's what
Diva,
think about. That's
Diva,
the reality.
But you're making my point. We as the government have made it to where
right.
you can't contribute at all, and we don't want you to. That's my point.
That's why
my point
I said
is,
I believe in a government-private partnership, and I'm starting to understand why you guys do not like the thought of single-payer health care.
That's because it will put more people
in a situation like this.
Well, the problem with single payer is, Diva, it always devolves into infanticide and euthanasia.
No,
that's why.
Not only that, this is my issue. What's going to happen as you put all these people onto this health care system? It is going to diminish the health care system that we already know.
Right.
And the people who have money will always be seen about. But the people who do not have money will be still left behind.
Well, when you have single payer, if the government is paying for all the health care insurance, people who have money, that what would their money do? Slide some money under the table to the
doctor?
No, they'll
go to a private hospital.
They have concierge services.
Look at England. Okay. England is a perfect example of this. If you've got a lot of money, you go to a private hospital, you see a private doctor, and you're totally outside of the national health care system.
And they call it concierge services.
Right. If you don't have a lot of money, you're inside the government system, and you have to take whatever they give you. And I've told you this, and you don't believe me. If the standard government procedure to treat the illness that you had would have been to remove your foot, you wouldn't have had a say in it. They'd have removed your foot. Because that's what the Mark 1 Mod 0 instruction book says for treatment of your disease. It becomes a cookie-cutter system.
It almost becomes like when you call your cell phone company or your cable company or someone and you ask them about a problem that you have with your system, they have a manual in front of them that walks you through the problem that you describe. And if it's outside
the
book,
that I'm not liking
they transfer
is,
you to somebody else.
I don't like how you can't go to certain – it's certain things about Medicaid that I'm finding out that I just really do not like.
That's the way a government health care system is run, Diva.
Right, and that's what I'm saying. The reason why I have a problem with the ACA is because people should have an option of whether or not they want government insurance or not. It shouldn't be,
you don't have to take it. Write a check for a private policy.
You can't afford it. It's not your indigent.
I mean, the thing is, somebody's getting something for nothing. They have no right to complain about what they're getting if they're not paying for it.
But see, this is more than people getting something for nothing. This is people who are getting nothing for nothing because they're not getting anybody anything, even those that have, that are willing to pay. See, the problem with the system is you're taking people who are willing to pay and making it to where they can't pay, so they have to go on the system also, so that everybody's dependent upon a government that doesn't care about them. 4-4. Hi, Stanley.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good.
I have to say, I'm going to go against Six. I'm sorry, Six, you're not right with that. I have a lot of family in Canada, and they're paying whatever they need to pay, and they don't have the government telling them, no, you can't get that operation. No, they go get the doctor that they want. They go get whatever they need to do, and they pay the taxes. It's through the taxes that they pay.
How much are the taxes?
Well, it depends on every province. If you go to Quebec, I think it's like 35-40%. It depends on every province has a different But don't say that they don't choose the doctor. They all do. They all do.
What about these reports I'm reading about lotteries to get a family physician? Are those false?
There's no lottery with it. The only problem, if I take an example for Canada and everything, the problem is that they have a problem of having private doctors and things like that, but they choose their doctors. The government doesn't impose them their things. So that's not true. The government doesn't tell you what you just said. It said, if you need a less foot to be operated, you better do it. No, it doesn't. The government has nothing to do with it. You have a little card, you pass it through to the thing, and everybody pays. Everybody contributes to that country. So
but
the government has nothing to do.
Are there certain services
of
that they do not
hold
cover?
Hold on. One
it's a
time.
Big pot. Basically, it's a tax system. Basically, everybody in society pays a tax, a higher tax compared to the United States, and they all get free health care. So everybody pays. It's not free. Everybody pays. And that's it. And no government is interfering. No government is telling the doctor, no, you can't do that. There's none of this shit. None of it. So there's none of what we have, which basically is the healthcare insurance company that could tell you, no, you can't have this. Try to do that in Canada.
Stanley, but the nationalized healthcare program in Canada is not as good as the healthcare program that we once had.
And not only that, the Canadians, from what I've been reading, are de-socializing their health care. And not only that, look at the number of Canadian citizens that are coming across the river to Detroit to have procedures done.
The only problem I'm saying to you is that they have to wait, but they do not
choose.
I have to wait for surgery. But that's the thing. But let's not compare to the United States. Let's compare to United States. Yes, you will get you will get saved for your cancer, but you'll owe $250,000. So that's the thing that
but
we
But I'm
have
living.
Here.
I didn't die with
cancer. Yeah, but you owe $250,000, and I'm sorry, a lot of people don't want to live with owning $250,000, period.
But you, again, I still go back to my original conversation. We could have made a better access, affordable healthcare system than we did.
Of course.
We did not
I agree
do
with
a
you,
good
Tracy.
Job.
I agree with you, Tracy, but don't, let's not,
not
act like when you get a bill that you. That I'm hearing six saying that, oh, you still live. Try to go to those people. You know what the number one bankruptcy for people in the United States is?
Healthcare.
There you go. Don't start acting, Six, like you owe $250,000 that you have a good quality of life. You don't.
No. Stanley, hold on. You're missing the point, Six. Stanley. You can, owing $250,000, and a lot of people did, and a lot of people owed a lot of money, but a lot of it became because of their procrastination. They made choices before they got sick that they had to adhere to afterwards. And so we need to take a responsibility for the bad choices that we made.
And I also fail to understand your point about going bankrupt, because that's what the bankruptcy system is designed to do, is to resolve you of your debts. I fail to understand this
trying to get a credit, Eric.
I don't do the two voices at one time. Go ahead.
I just fail to understand what the big deal is about going bankrupt for medical bills. I just don't understand that. What makes the difference if an individual goes bankrupt, or we tax an entire society into oblivion?
Go ahead, South Carolina.
No, I just wanted to say something real quick. I think what he's saying.
Hold on, guys.
Dude.
No. I said South Carolina. That is not you. Go ahead, South Carolina.
Tracy, I've seen this whole healthcare thing firsthand. Living in Detroit, there were several individuals that I saw that were from Canada that would come across the border to get MRIs because they could not get them in Canada. It's going to be a 6 to 8 month wait just to get an MRI. One particular person, one lady in particular, she needed a hip replacement, okay? She was willing to come down and pay the $6,000 to get the hip replacement instead of waiting the 8 months that it was going to require them for her to get one in Canada. So, I'd rather be in debt for $200,000 than be alive,
But we are – hold on, guys, but I hate to tell you this, but the way that things are going – this bill is badly executed, and it should have been rolled out completely different. And the government in anything, you know this, nothing that the government has ever touched has worked out very, very well. And
how
if
about
you look
the problem that will come, which is the doctor situation.
Hold on. And see, this is what I'm saying, but Diva, the problem is they're not even addressing yet. The problem, because the problem is, what happens when you start going, when all these people get on the program? There's no way for them to get 6 million people on by the 31st of March.
Well, they need to make it easier for people to go to school to become doctors.
No. It's bigger than that. You just don't want to start. You don't want to start just hammering out doctors just because you want that. That's not what the
But it
the
seems like the biggest
chance.
Problem they have in Canada is the lack of physicians, and that's why the wait is so long.
The reason why is because they don't want physicians. People don't want to become physicians anymore because you can no longer become wealthy as a physician. It's no longer
right,
a good job.
That's what I'm saying. Make it more lucrative for them.
But you can't. We don't make our teachers
then
lucrative.
You can.
No,
how do you think they're going to cut the cost? They've been hollering, cut the cost. They're going to cut the cost by not paying the docs.
Go ahead, Marilyn.
Well, 2 points real quick. I think what Stanley was saying and the other gentleman from South Carolina is if a family or anyone gets in a crisis, what's they going to pay first, their light bill, their car insurance, or their car payment, or hospital bill? And I think that's why people go into bankruptcy, because they will pay their necessities and put that hospital bill to the side, like South Carolina was saying, in some sense. But when we were talking about this bill, it is a good concept, and I agree, Tracy, it's a cluster, right now. It was structured. But on the initial bill passing, instead of the conservatives initially talking about repeal the bill, just like cut it and get it, I think on the early stages they should have been battling and chopping it out the viewpoints. But in the late game, when they knew it was going to fail, then they would start initiating it. And they do have good points about delaying it, which Obama is doing, because I think he's playing yo-yo with it. But I think early on the conservative side, they should have brung up these points, but they just thought about, let's go ahead and repeal it. And the Democrats, that wasn't no compromise. So I think we still have to, just still get it together, because something needs to be done.
This is the issue. The reason I agree with you, I think the Republicans could have done things better. You will not hear me say that they could not, because I think I have a better way of skinning a cat than they do. But they never asked me my opinion.
They should have brought it all on the Medicare. Everybody's paying into Medicare anyway, I think. But I just don't think that Republicans or conservatives was against that bill. I was considered not being conservative at one point, and I was against that bill. I'm against government telling me what to do.
Yeah. But Tracy, the problem I have is with this is that I feel that both sides, instead of being honest and saying, is it true that basically the Obamacare tells you that you won't be able to choose your doctor, yes or no? One is saying yes and one is saying no. It's either yes or it's no, period.
Listen, this is the issue. When you allow bureaucrats to start making decisions, you lose. And that's what our problem is. We have allowed bureaucrats to make decisions that they were not prepared for, nor did they have the expertise on. And that's the first problem. The second problem with this is nothing that the U.S. government has put together has been effective. Can you say Social Security? You got to understand, and we go back to the stigma we've been saying for a while now. You can't tell me. Hey, who's got background? You can't tell me that something's not wrong when you have a Social Security system that your federal government and your state employees and your local employees are not on.
Okay.
I mean, you right now they have exempted themselves out of the Affordable Health Care Act.
Okay.
I mean, does that make sense?
No, it doesn't make sense.
Why would you allow them to make a bill, and at the end of the day, they say it's for everybody, but not me?
It doesn't make sense. I agree with you, Tracy. But you cannot say by the same quarter, turn around and say just what your example is, and saying you're saying bureaucrats should never have the control of our health care, but I'm going to turn around on you and say health insurance should have never got control of your health care either.
You're right,
because,
Stanley, I agree. I agree. We should have a 100%
do.
Totally free. Stanley, we should have a 100% totally free market system. I agree. But in your and yes, Stanley, it's the answer to your question about losing your doctor is not a yes or no answer. If the doctor, if you sign up for one of these plans that Bill talked about here, and the doctor you have now is outside of the network, you're going to change your doctor, or the network is not going to pay for your doctor. So in some cases, yes, you get to keep your doctor, and in some cases, you do not get to keep your doctor.
But the problem is we allowed them to lie to us first. I got to take a break. But we allowed our government, the people who we elect, who we hire, to come back and lie to us. And that should never be the case. I don't care if they're Republican and or Democrat. And that's what we have to stop. We have to stop them and make them accountable and quit allowing them to be disingenuous when they enact laws that they know are not going to work. I don't care who they are. Because right now we're in the middle of a cluster and it's really bad. This is bad.
I believe conservatives are being extremely disingenuous in how they feel about healthcare. Not you per se, Tracy, but most. Because if they bring about a complaint and you offer a solution, they're going to knock it down and say, oh, it's just not good. You can't do this. You can't do that. Well, yeah, you did say that. Because I'm like, if your biggest problem is wait lines and times and how long it's going to take to get fixed up, then fix the root of the problem, which is physicians, and find a way to fix that problem.
But, Diva, you can't fix the physician problem because you don't want to pay them anything. And they're cutting – doctors are not taking Medicare and Medicaid because they're cutting the reimbursements to the point where they're not even covering expenses.
You can always make it lucrative. They have – with their insurance
Diva,
that they have
Diva,
to pay,
let me
say, their
Diva,
fees that they have to
Diva,
pay.
I got to go back to – I got to go through this again. I got to say this one more time. If tort reform, because see they haven't lessened the insurance for the doctors when they go and pay their malpractice insurance. They haven't not and they have not talked about. You will find very the way things are going right now. There are going to be fewer and fewer.
Hold on, listen.
There are going to be fewer and fewer independent physicians. They're all going to be a part of a massive medical company.
Right.
And you're going, and if you have independent physicians, and they're going to be on a concierge program, and that goes for your surgeons also. And they're not going to be accessible to the everyday person. Hey, Mike, how you doing?
Fine, thank you. A very favorite topic of mine. So I'm just sitting here listening, and I don't know. I was at the doctor's yesterday. This doctor was 3 years in practice. And looks like she'll be taking over because everybody who's been 20 years or more is out. They're not putting up with the nonsense anymore. They're working way too hard. At this point in their life, they should have been further along in their careers, and they're actually taking a step down. The average doctor in the United States only makes $88,000 a year. I can go to welding school for $10,000 and come out making $80,000, $90,000 a year as a welder. A doctor pays $500,000 for an education, pays tens of thousands of dollars a year for malpractice insurance in case they're sued, has to see hundreds of patients a week because they got a staff that's seven times bigger than they are just to keep up with all the regulations, forms, and everything else that need to be filled out. A lot of them, like you say, Tracy, are associating themselves directly with hospitals and becoming employees, and they hate that too. And
the minutia is just overwhelming.
The minutia is just overwhelming. It's so easy for people to sit who don't walk in their shoes to criticize and say, oh, they make all this money. But you didn't start out. Most of us didn't start our careers $500,000 in debt
right.
from going to medical school, having to build a practice.
Mike, I just taught the financial peace class at my church, and I had a couple in there. She's going to be a pharmacist. He's going to be a neurosurgeon, and they told me when we get done with school, we're going to owe $500,000.
Yeah.
And how about forgiving debt?
Diva, hold on, stop.
You want to start some practice.
Diva, hold on. Listen, forgiving debt, we got to get this out of our head. If you've got 10,000 doctors, with $250,000 of medical school, if you go to medical school and you forgive the loan that you paid, who is going to pay for that loan? I got to take a break. I'll be right back.
The government. The government can pay for the loan.
No, I just wanted to say, I mean, I understand all what he's saying, but when you're a doctor and things of that nature, I mean, loan forgiveness, I mean, you can't forgive the loan, but...
Yeah, you can. Why can't you?
Well,
if you go into a general... If you go into a...
Things of that nature, but, okay, but I understand what you're saying, but there has to be a balance. You're going to have to forgive everybody's student loan.
If you want to go... If you go into general practice, if you go into a field where most of the doctors are needed, then we will forgive your loan, or at least cut it in half. Doctor, it should not cost that much for higher education. That is a straight ripoff. $500 million to go to school, that's a straight ripoff. When you can get most of their training, most of their learning comes from on the job training anyway.
$500,000
for education. You went to a good Ivy League school. I mean, you went to a very good Ivy League school.
The teachers that's teaching them got to get paid, don't they?
Yeah, but come on, seriously. How much do these professors really get paid?
The teacher has to know just as much as the student wants to learn.
Of a college professor, of a higher learning professor. They don't get paid on that money. That, let's get real. All that money is not going to them.
Oh, excuse me.
No,
I have
all that money is going to the college.
$130,000 a year as professors.
Professors make way more.
I have professor friends who work in the and teach public health, and they make $135,000-$140,000 a year after 25
exactly.
years.
Exactly. But yet it costs $500 million to teach
no.
for one student.
Oh,
half a million
no,
dollars.
$500,000
for one student. $500,000 for one student.
And when those doctors come out of medical school, they go to work
right.
in an
that's
internship, and they work for the equivalent of minimum wage
right. that's,
while they're paying
that's
off
why
that
we should have cheap labor, Mike. That's why I agree. See, right now you're talking about that's cheap labor, and I agree. So cheap labor works all the way around. But you have to realize you cannot expect the conversation is, having said that, government will always be a part of the industry. You cannot deny it.
Well,
and
let me ask you a question.
When I talk about the government, it will never happen. All the economic and managing class and the economic classes, they always say the government will be a part of an economic system, and you cannot afford it. The balance is how much they put their mouth in it. They will always be a part of your business. Bottom line.
Well, but the thing is, I truly believe that if we want to solve all this and everything, we have to start from the beginning. So if we have to start from the beginning, we have to tell the truth to all the population about banks. How does that work? How does the money work? Number one. How does bank make money? How does bank go in association with the government? And how the hell do we come to the point that we as people are paying for that? Because we don't know the information of the bank. We don't know the truth about the banks. We don't know all those things that we're supposed to know.
Well,
banks
things
are
talk
making
too much
money
here.
Out of banks are making money out of you guys without even lending money. They don't even take chances with your money. They take your money that you have in your account, and they're taking it to invest in anything that they want. And they
well,
give
that's
you a little
fact,
interest.
But you can go to India. Why is
it
that you can go to India and get a? You can go to India and get a procedure for a tenth of the amount that it costs here in the United States.
Hey, Pierre,
let me ask you this question.
I want to ask
you. Let me ask you this. Let me ask this question real quick. Okay, you Pianchi was a steel erector. Okay, he buys steel for let's say $2 a foot. Okay, he charges somebody $15 a foot to erect it. Okay,
mm-hmm.
What business is it of mine that I care what he charges? If he's putting the building up and I agree to do it, then why should I care what money that he makes off of what he's doing? And that's the problem. I don't care what the bank is doing with my
but
money.
But that's not
as
even
long
a argument.
No. As long as when I go to the bank and get my money, it's there. I don't understand why people are so deep in trying to get it out of people's pockets.
Because
no,
the
trying
people
to get it out of people's pockets. That is a false argument.
They're going to watch and make sure he doesn't overcharge, and we were talking about overspending how the government.
Well, the way you don't
be
overcharged is through competition.
Right.
I don't know how y'all. As many gas stations we have, there's competition in that, but yet we still have high gas prices. There's grocery stores. You guys always make this argument. Competition brings down prices, and that's not true. Because it's not simply competition that lowers prices. There's other factors in it.
We have gas stations. There's a Pacific Effort group that owns gas
stations.
The
gas station doesn't make the gas.
The profit margin
in
gas.
But again, you guys always say competition brings down
now
cost. So it's
right.
Competition.
Right.
Profit margin in gasoline is very, very slim.
It's all about manufacturing.
Hey, that's just not fair. Oh, man. Well, I'm back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends. I was just singing and having a good time. I forgot I was on the air, so I guess I got to come back.
Yeah.
This is in studio. The number is 347-945-5229. It's good to be back. I had a wonderful time in Florida. I want to thank Jeff and Six and Eric and Mark Mangi for filling in the gap while I was gone. I needed to get away. Who?
You got to thank Bianchi and Diva. They were here too.
Did they show up to work too?
Oh, they showed up to work too. They worked real hard. Yeah, yeah. Some of us took the time off, but they were here duking it out. Mike from Baltimore was here too for duking it out.
So they kept the show going. They didn't, you know, disappoint me.
No, not at all.
Okay. Just
so, what kind of discussion did you and the Florida governor have?
I was on vacation.
Yeah, it doesn't mean you went by Jed Bush's house.
I was on vacation. I was on vacation. I did not talk politics.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. You, the black woman in Florida on vacation, you didn't get shot?
No, I didn't get shot.
You didn't get
shot. And as a matter of fact, I was in some white areas, and they treated me like I was a person, too.
They didn't shoot you?
That was a beautiful picture on the beach.
They didn't seduce you into the sex trade as a slave woman?
No, they didn't do any of that. But I tell you what I did not. I did not play my music loud.
Oh,
okay. You respected the community.
That's terrible. Oh, you are the wrong woman. You are so inappropriate.
So I did not play my music loud. I did not do that. But I did have a wonderful, I have to say, for those people who are snowbirds, I understand why you go south for the winter. I understand the Florida thing now.
There you go.
And now I come home and I want to work really hard because next year I want to become a bird.
You know what? When you come from Florida and back home, your clothes fit a lot better too, don't they?
No.
They a little more comfortable.
No, they wouldn't. That's
well, you didn't stay long enough.
Listen here, I am afraid to go to the gym tomorrow. What's that, Eric?
The freezing rain is here, officially.
Is it there now?
It is here.
Listen, let me explain something to y'all. I came home yesterday, and it was 70 degrees, and the sun was shining when I came in, and I said, wow, what weather to come home to. Spring has sprung. And then I watched the news. Y'all don't know how to be, act right, be consistent, do the right thing. What's up with that? Wow. But it was beautiful, and I just want to thank everybody because I needed it. So now I'm ready to go to work. Harder and longer than I have before.
While you were gone, I began to feel exactly for what you put up with.
You feel my pain, huh?
Absolutely.
He was going for the change if the pain got any worse.
Do you know what? You guys are really special. Hey, somebody just came in. That's Eric. How you doing, sweetheart?
I'm doing okay. Just enjoying this freezing rain, like I said.
Is it freezing rain right now?
It's slushing right now, but it's getting cold. It's in that transition point, you know.
This is bad. Mm-hmm. This is bad, isn't it?
Yeah.
Hey, what else is going on? Six over here pecking away, so I know he's on Facebook.
No, I'm feeding our chat room.
You're feeding the chat room? I'm glad. Pionki's in the chat room.
Tracy?
Yes, South Carolina?
I don't know if you guys discussed it or not, but are you aware that the president is trying to change the overtime laws?
The salary thing?
Yeah, yeah.
So they're going to do away with exempt employees.
Yeah.
Explain that.
If you're making more than $455 a week in salary, you can be exempt right now from overtime. They want to raise that figure, which basically comes out to about $23,000 a year. They want to raise that number to $984 a week, which goes up to about $51,000 a year. If you're making more than that, or if you're making less than that, then they would have to assess overtime on your pay. If you're making more than $51,000, you would be exempt, and they wouldn't have to pay you overtime. They could make you a salaried employee. But what it is going to cause some serious, serious problems for businesses because, some folks are going to get an increase in pay, but but you're going to see a lot of people lose their jobs over there.
Sir.
What you going to be doing is paying more in taxes.
Hold up, sir.
This is helping. What in the world is going on here?
He's trying to collect taxes.
But this,
what's considered overtime wages is taxed at a higher rate.
Right, right. He's trying. He's also trying to create employment, because what will happen is people won't let people work the overtime. They'll just hire some part-time people, and it'll create some more jobs, but they won't be high-paying jobs.
But
wait a minute. Hold on. I'm confused, because salaried employees, I know when I worked as a shift manager at Arby's and at Rally's, and when my supervisor above me who were salaried, I was only required to work 8 hours. They were required to work like 12, 16 hours a day and didn't get overtime and still only collected about $40,000 a year.
Because they were not salaried, were they?
Yeah, they were. They were salaried, but they still were required to work
They were exempt salary. So you have exempt salary and non-exempt salary. My wife is non-exempt salary. She gets overtime.
Right, but that's what that law is saying, that these businesses can no longer do that. If you can require somebody to work 12 hours a day, even though they're salaried, they should still be compensated.
Hold on.
You're not going to see it.
When you don't work 12 hours a day, if you work 3 hours a day, you still get the same thing.
I've never known a salary. Only work 3 hours a day unless you got
Steve, I have. I mean,
a lot of companies give comp time.
I mean, not only no, we're not even comp, but comp. Ain't wasn't no comp. I've been salaried for a very, very long time. And the days I worked for 2 hours a day, I got a full pay, and the days I worked 17 hours a day, I got the same pay. And there was no comp time. There was no because it was job performance. I got bonuses. Yes, I got bonuses based upon my performance. But this is my issue now, and you cannot change the Affordable Health Care Act, which are benefits.
Uh-huh.
Put regulations in, and whoever's making a lot of noise, there's a mute button on your phone. Please hit it. You can do a lot of things. I mean, but companies can't handle all this. This is too much. Right now, we're having a hard time trying to figure out how you're going to get everybody on the Affordable Health Care Act and how you're going to pay them and how you're going to make ends meet. And you're just coming out of a major recession where a lot of companies are just doing good to still be alive. And President Obama is still not dealing with the issues at hand. And the issues are, we don't need more money. We need jobs. We need an education system who's going to allow us to feed the jobs that pay money. I don't need a minimum wage. I need a job that's going to pay me, because I need the education that's going to give me what I need. This is not working.
Tracy.
Because what I saw in Florida, them people down there are not in a recession. They ain't depressed.
Nope.
I told y'all I paid $14 for two scoops of ice cream in the mall. And this is the problem. And they're not the one percenters. There are people who have an education, who have a knowledge base, who can get ahead. And until we change our paradigm and what we're thinking on our mind and actually begin to do something and produce something and make something and have something, we'll always be grappling over how we're going to increase the minimum wage. And this president, he's really not doing it. In theory, yeah, giving everybody health care is a great idea. But in executing something, he's as dumb as a cluck. I'm done.
Well, they're not.
Not only that.
There's a lot of parts of the country where they're not arguing about minimum wage. They're paying $15 an hour at McDonald's in South Dakota.
That's what I'm saying.
So
they don't have to argue about minimum wage in South Dakota, because they're already paying $15 an hour.
They're paying
economy
is booming.
And arguing about something that's already government.
We could do the exact same thing here in the Mahoning Valley if they just let us.
They don't want to.
But they don't want
also
to.
In
You're
South
right.
Dakota, it costs you $229 for a room in a hotel.
Yeah.
But you know, one thing I was going to make mention is that Obama is demonstrating his inability Well, he's unknowledgeable about how businesses work. Paying salary people overtime. You know, just like you say, you got bonuses based on your performance. Now, suppose that salary person, which is usually a management, suppose they don't perform. You still paying them.
Absolutely. For a very long time until you feel like they're not really working, then you got to let them go.
And when it comes to middle management, Pianke, you've seen this too, because I've done this in some of my business. Some people say, oh, I want to be a salary. Okay, you put them on a salary. And you say, you know, this means occasionally you got to stay some nights. Occasionally you're going to have to work a Saturday. Oh, yeah, no problem. Most of the year you track their hours. You watch them. Most, after a while, they're down to 32 hours a week of showing up for work. The first time you have them work six Saturdays in a row, they're complaining, got their hand out, they want more money.
That's true.
That's what happens. Most people mentally are immature. Very few people can really go to work like the CEOs and these chairmen of the board people and these big corporations where they work 80 hours a week as a typical week for them for their salary.
It takes a master discipline. It's an unbelievable discipline.
Take a picture and look for deferred compensation down the road in your stock portfolio, your warrants you were given, your stock options and all that, saying if I build a better company, I'll get rich at the back end. And they put in long weeks. I had a friend work for IBM. He made a pretty good check. He was making about $135,000 a year with his bonuses and everything. But
well, you make good money on salary.
He left it after 11 years because you know what? He went and took two 40-hour-a-week jobs and makes just as much money now with two 40-hour-a-week jobs and puts in less time.
Hold on, Mike. 440, your mic is on.
Well, what the whole problem is that your foreign policy, Obamacare, the whole thing, you elected somebody that wasn't qualified to do the job, and that's where it all boils down to. We're done.
You reelected him,
we're
too.
We're done.
Yeah, see what you get when you pay minimum wage?
Hold on. Minimum. 443.
He doesn't get paid a lot.
Mike, I only got 3 minutes. 443, I want to make sure everybody's in. 443, your mic is on.
Yeah, it's crazy. I'm just saying, I understand what he was saying, but he's just upping the level of the salary. But you have to imagine, and you were saying you would work 3 hours. I don't know. I mean, everybody has their gravy train moments. But when it's talking about having someone making $30,000 a year and they're almost working 50 hours a week, and they're not getting paid overtime.
Listen, Marilyn, listen here. When you are salaried, you're usually management and you're bonus. Mm-hmm. If you make your numbers, if you put your time in, you get a bonus check quarterly or semi-annually, and it's a nice little checky check. I mean, you're not making $30,000 a year, and that's all. That's your base pay. Or your sales and you're on commission. So your base is $23,000 a year, and then you make a percentage of your commission. But there is another structure. That's not their base salary where they're not making any money and they have no other benefits, and that's it. That's all. That's not how that works. That's not what salaried employees do.
But I've been in the banking field for 5 years, and I know when I make my goals, I make that business a lot of money. So
do you make a bonus on that?
That's all I'm saying.
My question is, do you make a bonus on that when you hit your target?
Yes, when I hit my target, I get a nice check. But I'm letting you know all those accounts and things that I make up, they made a lot of money. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
I'm just saying you have to balance out.
Let me say this. I, what I've learned in the last five days I was in Florida, I ain't mad at the 1%. I'm just trying to become one. That's the bottom line. What I learned while I was gone is that I'm not mad at the 1%ers. I just want to be one.
That's right. Me too.
And as long as I live in America and you give me access to the 1% and I still can make it there, I'm going to do it. Listen, I'm gone for the day. You guys have a good day. You've been listening to Tracy and Friends. Tomorrow is Health and Wellness. Dr. Brandy will be here. Matt will be here. And I'm going to try to find somebody who's going to talk about physical fitness because I'm hiding from Doris and John. At the family, so hopefully they won't show up. Will you look at me?
That's
just
one way to
serious.
Do it. Start over with a new one every month.
You've got a point there. Thanks.
Oh, the show's not over. I thought it was over.
Yeah, I
I think the show is over now.
Okay. Hey, Pianchi, I want to ask you a personal question. So you're primarily steel, right? Do you get involved in any electrical work ever?
No, all I did was erect structural steel building.
Okay.
Basically. Bridge structural and ornamental iron workers.
Because I had something I wanted to send you, but it's a piece of electrical equipment. I ended up with two of them, and rather than have them sit brand new in the box and nobody using them, if it was something you
What
could
do you
do,
use them for?
It's
switch box?
It's a transmitter that goes on the electrical meter. And what it does, and you walk around with a handheld device in your hand, and any time you start a piece of equipment anywhere within 500 feet of that transmitter, it will tell you what the surge and load and everything else and what that piece of equipment is using for power.
No, I don't need nothing like that.
Okay.
But if you had, well, we don't, if you had those distribution boxes that distribute 220, mm-hmm. should I say 220 or 440 and 110, there was a time when we really did use those. Because what we would do, we would bring, as we proceeded up in the elevation of the building, we'd bring the supply up the middle to those distribution. Then we would plug our welders up to them. You know, you could plug 10 welders up to them with those, I can't think of the type of sockets that they had, the plugs that they had. You put them in, you give them a half a turn, they lock.
Yeah, the twist lock.
50 amps,
the industrial twist lock, yeah.
Yeah, but those were real nice. Then they had those little turtles.
Yep.
They were nice, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, Bianchi.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks for the book. I'm reading. It's really interesting, the book that you suggested.
I ordered it. Rescue Jerusalem?
I ordered it last week. Came back 2 days later in Amazon. Well, not even 1 day later. Starting to read it. It's very
That's
interesting.
A good book.
I'm taking it, and I'm like, I'm going to come back with Jeff and say, did you know that, Jeff? Because,
and you know what? Another thing about that too, Stanley, is that guy is unbiased because he done that because he had an adopted son, and he was concerned that his adopted son was not interested in the history that he was telling his biological son.
I know. We're talking about the diva, about the whole Christianity, Jewish.
Oh, okay, never mind. That's all you need to say. Never mind.
It's historical too. It did happen.
It's historical, and it talks about the facts, and it's very interesting. Diva, you should check it out. Check out that book. It's really interesting.
What's the name of the book, please?
The Rescue of Jerusalem.
The Rescue of Jerusalem.
Yes.
I'm going to have to put it on my list because right now, let's see, I'm reading Dreams for My Father. Then I've got to finish Audacity Hope. Then I got to do Decision Points. Then I got to read Bill Clinton's book. So.
Oh, you got to read. Okay, did you read Rules for Radicals yet?
Okay, I'm going to put that. I got to get that one too.
Yeah, because I read Rules for Radicals and Dreams for My Father because everybody was talking about it during the first election. I'm going, no, I'm not going to listen to Sean Hannity and have a Prius. I want to hear. I'm going to go read those books for myself and see what they really say.
I think I'm going to read. I'm going to read Rules for Radicals next.
Yeah.
Because
I'm trying to
figure out what exactly everyone is saying that I'm not seeing. Because so far, Dreams for My Father, Ben is always saying, "Oh my gosh, read it and you'll see what I'm talking about." People didn't read this book, and I'm like, I'm a quarter way through that book, and I don't see what he's talking about.
Well, you probably won't. I don't even think he wrote the book. I think somebody is. I never read the book, but it's logic.
If
he would qualify for a Nobel Peace Prize immediately after he was elected, whereas that process in itself takes, you know, it takes time.
Yeah, usually it's
a 3 to 4
year process.
What does that have to do with whether or not he wrote the book?
Yeah. Well, Diva, now, you see, you're only in the first quarter. It isn't until the second half you get into the good recipes for dog and stuff.
No, I'm almost three quarters away from I'm more than three quarters done with the book.
I'm teasing you.
Oh, okay.
Because people will tell you they didn't ever tell you how to eat a dog. You know.
Oh.
I'm reading that book, and I'm also.
I know he ate dog when he was in Indonesia. Ugh.
Yeah. Yeah. Most people do. That's why.
I'm reading that book that. The Jerusalem one, and I'm also reading the book about the bank, The Creature from Jekyll Hyde.
A second look
at the Federal Reserve. My God, the more I read it, the more I'm like, my God, didn't know those things.
Then read John Perkins' book, Confessions of Economic Hitman.
Oh my God, that one had me reading all year. I'm not going to get back to my TV.
That's the book I already
have.
That
need
book
a TV.
In my, I already have that book on my shelter, Pyong.
Diva,
I know
you
that.
Read all those books, you'll be on TV. You'll be the expert.
Oh my gosh, no! You know I do take a break from my scandal, but
read,
I'm missing all my other shows.
read Quigley's book, Tragedy and Hope, which is about 1,600 pages.
Wow. I was so, like, when the more I read that book, the more I was disgusted when he talked about the banks, how it works, what they do with the money, how they make the money. They make money out of nothing.
True.
How the hell did
they cheat? That's why things are inevitable, the things that these things come to an end, because it's
I don't understand. They
just
cheat.
Can't go on.
How
just
the hell
power
they do this?
Just the power of nine itself will tell you
the fractional reserve, the 9-on-1, the thing of using our own money and seeing like it's a debt and having other people pay that debt. What?
It's good work if you can get it, ain't it, Stanley?
But how the hell did it go through that?
Stanley, where do you get to the part where offshore there are accounts for every American's name? There's an account.
Oh, no.
Your debt with money in it. That they created, that is the capital behind your debt, and you can under public, what the heck is it called, freedom of information, full disclosure, you can look your account up and everything else, and there are people who are now suing for the money in that account because if it's, you say it's my account and it's in my name, and the IRS knows it, and the Treasury knows it, and everybody knows it, that's your debt account, but the cash is there.
Oh, wow.
The digital debt, the digital cash is in that account in your name under your Social Security number.
Yeah, and they don't. And there's a lot of things. Like he talks about one part that he said when you sign for a loan and everything, the paper that you sign, it's money for them.
Yeah, yeah, it is.
And you usually they should basically after paying your loan, whatever you pay, they should give you that paper and give you the permission to rip it off in a million pieces. No, no, no. They keep that, and they basically sell that as money to other people who are investors, and that money is already paid.
And not only that, they photocopy it. And they'll
they photocopy it, exactly.
And they'll create 12 times collateral against you signing one piece of paper.
Exactly.
And that's why judge in Ohio, I guess it was a year and a half ago in the spring or 2 years ago this spring, a judge in Ohio for Deutsche Bank, they were foreclosing on 14 people in Ohio, and the judge, or it was 42, I can't remember. I know it was divisible by 14, whatever the number was. And the judge told Deutsche Bank, sorry, if you can't hand them back, if they pay you that note and you can't hand them back the original instrument that created the debt, their money, that note is your money. If they can't hand that note back to you, they couldn't produce it because they had sold it. Nobody knew where the original was. He told all the people, leave. You own your home free and clear. And he threw their case out of court, and they didn't get foreclosed on. They ended up owning their houses free, and that's an
true
Ohio
too.
Case.
Oh.
You know something else that they've done too, Matt? That was a heck of a scheme. It's credit cards. You go into a store, swipe your credit card, take out the good. Now, the store don't get paid for 45 days, but you got to pay in 30 days that bill. So they're just using your money.
Well, what they
Wait
do
minute.
Is
well,
they,
does the same work for student loans? If they can't
yep.
supply you with the original?
Yes.
No, student loans are different now. They don't. They correct with the last revision of the bankruptcy law. They kind of got rid of. They kind of covered their ass, should I say?
Yeah. On credit cards, what they do, Bianchi, is they have sweep accounts. That there is a side of banking that we don't know about, being average folks. And in every bank they have it, and you can go online and you can look up it. It's called private banking. And we don't know, the average person doesn't know about it, but we do know if you think about back to your childhood, there is a side to the bank where only people with a certain minimum net worth can deal. They get deals on their money in the bank, and some banks it's as low as $2 million, and other banks it's at least $10 million liquid cash in that bank. And that's where if you watch the Beverly Hillbillies, remember Mr. Drysdale? Kept coming to their house with things for them to sign. And if you pay attention to the history of the Beverly Hillbillies show, they went from $20 million to like $80 million worth in the 5 years. That's because of their private banker, because he puts them in deals where they're sometimes making 8% a week on their money.
And the other thing also they talked about is like in the end of the day when all the money that we owe and things like that, all banks States, they basically all together. It's not like every bank, it's one bank. They all stay together and say, okay, this bank is $1 million, this one is having. They don't pay the $1 million back to the other bank. They all stay together, and they say, okay, keep that $1 million, I keep my $1 million, and that's it.
Here's what they do. They got these things called sweep accounts, and say I'm a big business, and say I got $1 million sitting there waiting for payroll to come up in 2 weeks. The bank will sweep the money out at night, pay me sometimes 0.25% on that money. That's the money they have to give to merchants to cover their Visa charges they got. And you know, that 2% or 3% fee they charge the merchant, well, that's where my 0.25% comes from. The bank makes more money on my money than I do, but I can make 50, 60% a year on my money if I just let them sweep it out of the account for 24 hours and then replace it.
Well, what they sweep it into is you know, when I trade, they sweep it into what's called a municipal bond, which pays from the extreme industry.
Yep.
New York, Ohio, Connecticut, they have these bonds. That at the end of the closing day, they sweep your money over into that, and it can accrue these tremendous amount of money. It will stay there until your account calls for it in a trade.
Right. And then the other thing they do, because banking is international now, it may be after 2 o'clock here, let's say, you don't get credit for a deposit till tomorrow. Well, your money, it's not 2 o'clock in the afternoon halfway around the world. It could be the middle of the night over there. They'll put your money over there on short-term instruments and stuff and use your money for 12 hours interest-free or 14 hours. And then when a weekend comes after 2 o'clock Friday, your money doesn't show up in your account till Monday morning, till after they process it in the morning. So there, you've got that block of time. If you take the hours in the week, on a 168-hour week, if you take the number of hours out of the week that you really have, you're getting credit for your money against the hours when they won't give you credit for your money, it comes out to 56% of the week, they're working with your money interest-free.
Wow.
And
so even
if
they put it out there on a quick overnight loan for 1% somewhere or 0.5% somewhere in the world, then they cover it with another block of money when the world turned a quarter turn because now they're dark and they don't have access to their money, and they keep doing that, they're making tons of money on your money.
But how do they have the right to take my money and invest it on whatever they need to invest it, have 15 or 20% and give me 3?
Two reasons. One is you agreed to it when you put your money in their bank, and second is you don't have the lobby they have to get the right politicians in that would let them do it legally.
See, Stanley, you get smart now.
See,
you got VHS tape at the house, Stanley? Wait, you live in Canada, don't you?
No, I live in New York.
I was going to send you something, but it's on VHS tape.
I'm looking at the YouTube. Diva, you should watch this. Go to YouTube and go to Money and Death.
Tell you, I got something better than that, but I can't send it to you.
Money and what?
Money and Death.
Oh, okay.
Go to YouTube. It's a 3-part. It tells you exactly what we're talking about.
Stanley, look me up on Skype. Do Pianchi on Skype, and I'm going to get you something.
Okay, no problem. Because when you go see that, Diva, it will explain.
Is it like this cartoon type thing?
Yeah, part 1, part 2, part 3. Watch part 1. It tells you what is a bank, how did a bank come in, what the hell is in, how come they have fractional reserve. How come? What was the number one?
That's a good video too. You know when this stuff really started, Matt. It may not be when it really started. When they started issuing gold certificates, and they didn't have the gold to back it, the certificate.
Yeah.
It's easier to issue paper than it is to issue gold that weighed 2.2 kilograms an ounce.
Yeah.
And that started. Gave people these ideas back then, the people who really profited off of it. And it just had went on.
Yeah, and it went on to the point of banks not even having, basically protecting themselves and saying, you know what, we're going to play lottery with your money and there's nothing you could do. But if we do it as citizens, you're in prison.
I tell you another movie that talks about that.
I was watching a movie the other day.
It's a Wonderful Life.
I was watching a movie yesterday. I forgot what movie it was. But they were talking about, it was about the government, they were talking about money, and they were saying, well, what, we don't have the money. And it was like, well, where is the money? What do you mean? It was like, we don't actually have the money. We just operate off of the full faith and credit of the United States of America.
Yeah, it's a promise. Hey, it's a promise. It's a promise. The money that you have right now is just a promise. It's a paper that promises us that money is something. Your money comes from death. If there was no death, you wouldn't have any money. Period.
Well, the faith comes with the United States military is where it comes from.
The more I'm reading it, the more I'm getting mad. The more I'm saying to the bank, I'm saying like, well, how come if everybody knew this? You know how much revolt there'd be in the bank?
American people getting screwed in the long run. It's because, see, you're not supposed a green pepper, a bell pepper shouldn't cost $1.19.
Yours costs $1.19. It costs $1.49 here. And don't get
I think they want us to have problem paying the money because they say more debt we have, more money they make.
Well, they don't want to let you go once they get you in it. Just like the criminal justice system. Once your kids get in there, it's hard. It's almost literally impossible to get them out,
yeah.
Even if they found not guilty. So once they get
how
you into this system.
We have a Treasury Department and the Federal Reserve. What's the
difference? That's another question, which don't make sense. They're right, Matt.
It's not even reserve. It's a private bank, the Federal Reserve.
Right.
That ain't the issue.
The federal
issue.
Government has no say-so over the Federal Reserve other than who they select as the chairman person.
But that ain't the question to ask, Diva. The question is why come you have to go to the Federal Reserve to have currency printed up, then pay them interest on it, whereas the Treasury can print the currency itself and you don't have to pay any interest.
Any interest. Or the bank could go to the Federal Reserve and have so much low interest, which is 0.00001%.
But the question is, why do we have both? That's the main, that gets the crux of it. Why do we need both? Why do they feel we need both?
Then you have to read Creature of Jekyll, what is it?
Jekyll Island. Yeah, it talks about that.
And Secrets of the Federal Reserve.
Yeah. And it talks about
Secrets of the Federal Reserve, that gold book. Look at the table in the back of the tree. Look at the tree in the back and look at who's at the top of the tree and look how far down that tree runs through business after business after business, manufacturer after manufacturer after manufacturer.
So it's the Treasury that collects all of our tax dollars. All of the money that we pay the government goes to the Treasury, correct?
Goes to the U.S. Treasury.
Yeah.
So what is the purpose of
IRS is a collection agency. The Federal Reserve is there. What the Federal Reserve buys bonds that the U.S. Treasury issue. If they want to buy, if they create $500,000 worth of debt, then they got to sell $500,000 worth of bonds. And what they do is sell them to the Federal Reserve. The Federal Reserve would buy them.
So basically, the Federal Reserve. And this is how I'm looking at it. The Federal Reserve. It seems like a money.
Federal Reserve is not a U.S.
government. It seems like a money
agency.
Laundering scheme. That's what it sounds like.
Yeah, it's
like
a money laundering scheme. It's set up the government basically going to Congress to ask to the people. I mean, a $2 million. He goes to the Federal Reserve and gets the $2 million. He doesn't need to go to Congress to get that $2 million. Period. That's why the government participate with the Federal Reserve.
That's why come things is jacked up, because the government can spend money that it does not have, but
exactly.
The public is liable for.
Yeah, the public is liable, but and the bank and the government doesn't say, and that's why they said, hey, I don't need to go to Congress
if,
and this and that.
If there was a constitutional amendment to where the states and the people decide to come together and bring about a conference or whatever that's called to do a constitutional amendment by bypassing Congress, you would think that would be the first thing, one of the main things we would do is to limit what the federal government can do when it comes to debt and when it comes
to
spending.
Yeah, but there's two parts, Diva. There's one part with the government and there's the other part with the bank. The bank also needs money. So the bank went to the Federal Reserve and asked them, we need $50 million. No problem. We'll give
isn't
you the
that
50
the bank's bank? That's actually the bank's bank.
No,
that's
yeah, that's the major bank.
That's
the major bank, and they
all
ask
the
them.
Big bank, that's where all the big banks keep their money, if I'm not mistaken. That's the bank's bank. That's where the bank's getting their money from. They're not getting it from the Treasury.
Well, they're getting it through us also, but
They get it from people deposits.
Yeah, they're getting it through the deposit of people. It's the debt of people.
What I'm saying
that
is,
basically,
where do the banks keep? What, from what I understand, the Federal Reserve is the bank's bank.
Yeah, the Federal Reserve is...
How we do our own banking with the bank has a bank that they deal with in banking, too, and that's the Federal Reserve.
Right, they can get money from the Federal Reserve at a lower interest rate and turn around
and
sell
and
it to you at a higher interest rate.
Exactly. They could come to the Federal Reserve and ask for $50 million, and they'll sell it back to us at 5 or 10%, even though they're paying 0.00001% of interest. And they'll keep that money of interest in their money.
Shame.
Now, it was a time when this country used to issue what was called bearer's bonds, B-E-A-R, bearers, B-E-A-R-E-R-S-B-O-N-D-S. And let me tell you how they work. The bearer bond is divided. If you had a $5 million bearer bond, it was divided up in coupons that you could cash in periodically and receive not only the money that you put up, but also a very nice interest rate. And it was bearer's bond. In other words, whoever had it, they had legal, negotiable tender in their hands. I mean, somebody could take yours, and I mean, that's too bad. But it was bearer's bond. I can talk very good on them.
So is anything that you're reading, Stanley, have you read anything about QE? Because I'm still trying to, like, I understand what they're saying about QE, but I'm like, that's the one thing that disappoints me about President Obama is QE does not cause trickle down. The only people that are getting rich right now are those who are investing heavily in Wall Street, because the stock market right now is insane. And what will happen if they stop the QE?
Quantitative, I can say one thing for Obama. The things he's done, it has trickled down closer to the common person than I've ever seen before. Just with TARP. Look at, you can go on a website and you can see the projects that's going on in your neighborhood that you would not even be aware was as a result of TARP.
But here's the thing. Now, when you look at the stock market, you would think that the economy was doing good. But when you look at real America, you know, middle America, it's not really, people are still struggling to find jobs. I know they say they got these 3 million jobs that they can't fill. That makes no sense to me, because I know plenty of people who don't do drugs and can't find a job. So that QE is not trickling down. All that, the purpose of QE is not trickling down. It's not trickling down in the job market.
I see it two fronts. There's one problem that the production is getting bigger and bigger, so we should get more money. And the second part is the rich 1% are keeping their money and not investing back to the people.
They should be. They put their money in other currencies.
But
the purpose of giving them so many tax breaks and large tax cuts and doing stuff like QE is so that they don't keep their
QE
money.
QE don't help the rich. QE just pushes the can down the road.
Yeah, they don't have to. Diva, they don't have to. If you're telling the rich person that I won't have to pay taxes, I'll keep that money in my pocket.
Right, that's what I'm saying. When you got conservatives who talk about we need more and more tax breaks for the rich class because they are job creators, then when we give them all them tax breaks, where are the jobs? They're not using that money to reinvest.
Well, they do create jobs, but the thing is, Diva, see, now let's talk about the other demon, the demon called technology. Technology put a lot of people out. In essence, you got more people than you need. Technology has taken the place of a lot of people that were doing jobs.
Yeah, and technology has done a lot of things to people that you don't need as much employees to do a business. You can have one person to do a whole business. It could be competitive of another person. That's 500 people.
Again. So when I look at this and I hear conservatives say government is the problem, government is the reason why we're losing jobs, no, that's not it. I mean, I get what they're saying about how businesses are taxed, but
Government are because of regulations. Regulations is environment regulations. That costs a lot of money and imposes a lot of burden on manufacturing and companies. Not the normal company, but companies that's involved, whereas they can come in contact with something that's protected, i.e. rivers, the soil, the air, then you got regulations that's imposed on them. You cannot build a coal-fired power-producing plant because the regulations are just prohibitive.
So are you saying that we should just have polluted air and water at the expense of jobs?
Well, along the line, you have to make a compromise.
But Bianchi, the problem I feel is
in the world.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, Stanley, here's something I want to share with you just before I make the comment, because I've been looking for this for 20 minutes here. Stanley, there's a guy named Mike Maloney who's done a series of YouTubes, five of them. They're free. It's called Hidden Secrets of Money. And he goes all the way back to when they first started minting coins 5,000 years ago and brings it all the way forward to the scams that we're all involved in with paper money and everything today and how empires are built on it and how they collapse. And he makes a case for why he thinks we're very near to the next collapse for this financial system. But he said they build another one, you know?
Yeah, they just build another one.
So, yeah, it's the little people that get caught when it collapses. And but it's a great series. I watched the videos, and what I like about it, it's not about who's on the left, and it's not about who's on the right. It's the true history of what's going on behind the scenes.
Yeah.
And it has to happen, too, Matt. Nothing can stay forever. It's got to happen.
Yeah, yeah.
But on the other hand, things like what Sticks be talking about, and we make mentions of groups like Quakers and Amish, that is very valuable. Like I told you today, I just received 3 cans of survival seeds.
Yep.
Now, I may not be able to get to the point where I have to use those, but I was in discussion with a group of young people, and we got to talking about it. I said, well, how better can I show them that I'm meaningful about what I'm saying than I should go out and get my own supply of survival seeds? So when I go in discussion with them next time, guess what I'm going to say? Voila, I've got my seeds.
Exactly.
But I truly believe it's about education. Too many Americans don't know what we know, don't know the bank system, don't know how this is. And like you say, it has nothing to do with Democrat or Republican. It has to do with you're jeopardizing my life. You're losing my money. You're using the thing that I work so hard to do, and you're playing Monopoly with the money of Americans.
And that's why I had 5 years ago, I was a victim of an economic crime, okay, and identity theft and everything else. And I've been being sued ever since by everybody who thinks I owe them money. And so, but along the way, I met somebody who knew the truth about a personal note with what they call a blue ink or a wet ink signature on it, showing that I actually signed a document. And the power of that, in the last 2 years, going back to my consumer protection roots, I have helped, let's see, it was 208 people who were being dung by credit companies, calling them up. I showed them how to write a letter where you demand that under the Fair Debt Reporting Act and the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act, you demand to see the blue ink copy, because without it, there is no contract. And just writing the letter, 75%, 140-some-odd of those people never, ever, ever heard again from those collection companies because they couldn't produce the document with their signature. That note is everything. Just because I learned from the judge in Ohio.
Does that letter get that removed from your credit report?
Yeah, but they keep that letter.
Go through arbitration.
Next step, because when they can't prove the debt and they stop calling you, then you demand that it's removed because they can't produce the. You contact the 3 credit agencies, excuse me, and you reference that on your credit report, and you simply tell them that on such and such a date they were asked for validation. X amount of time has gone by. They've never produced the validation. I demand that this be immediately removed from my credit. And if they can't produce the actual contract, naming that they had standing in court, meaning they were the one who actually gave up value to you, okay? Because some judges will rule in your favor that if they're not the original creditor and this debt's already been charged off, and I have a college professor who's willing to take this on. He's a legal professor. He's willing to take this on because, see, your bank, when you had a bad credit card, your bank charged it off. That means they told the IRS they took a $10,000 loss because of you, and they wrote the $10,000. For them to turn around and then sell that to a collection agency, they got paid some money. Then they should have reported to the IRS $10,000 minus what they collected for the debt. The collection agency is coming after you for the whole $10,000. That cost basis is not $10,000. You have not injured them by $10,000. So you ask for a jury trial, basically, is what you do.
Yeah, well, we should do arbitration. Go to an arbitrator, and arbitrator rule in your favor, takes it to court. Courts very seldom do they go against arbitration. But you know what, too, Matt?
This is Mike, not Matt.
Okay, Mike. One of the ways that you can show what you're saying is true, when you are in dispute with the RRS and you're trying to work out some kind of payment agreement, well, they ask you, what is your liabilities?
Yeah.
Now, you list your liabilities, and if you put down credit card debt, if you put down something that's not collateralized, they will say, well, this is not a debt.
No, they'll say it's income.
They're saying you really don't have to pay this back because they cannot go after anything of collateral that
you
have.
And I could spend hours teaching what I've learned over the years on this, but the upshot is, Diva, that the average person settles with these credit card companies because they're basically bullied into it. So just as a matter of practical course, this most recent one with Midland Funding out of Maryland, Midland was coming after me saying I owe $12,000. They never gave me a penny. They suffered no change in position under contract law. They never gave me a penny, but it's all from this nonsense from 5 years ago. They were offering me, well, you could settle it for half. Well, the first thing that happens is it's beyond the statute of limitations because South Carolina has a 3-year statute of limitations. If I admitted to the debt, that rewrites the contract and starts the statute of limitations. Now I owe
absolutely
the
right.
And
if you admit
where,
to
wow.
the debt, it starts everything
where,
all over again. And
yeah,
if you start, if you pay them a penny,
on the telephone because when they call, they say, "Well, I'm broke. Well, you can't even send a dollar." Yo, I could send $10. You send $10, you just admitted you owe them money. Now the court won't rule against you because you've just restarted the contract.
Wow.
And my thing is, I'm dealing with my student loans right now. I cannot get them to
send
me.
You can't get out of
it. No, I'm not trying to get out of it. I want the information, and I can't get them to send me the information.
What information?
Because I have a student loan from 2006 that I completely forgot about, and it went into collections, and the collection agency called me, and I was like, "Well, I don't remember this debt." Well, I just told them, "I don't remember this. You have to send me the paperwork on it." Mm-hmm. And this was 2 months ago, 2-3 months ago, and they still have not sent me the paperwork.
Okay, here's what you got to do, Diva. Here's what you got to do. You got to go to the government website, to the Federal Trade Commission, and you have to get a document called the F, as in Frank, D as in David, FDPCA, Fair Debt Collection Practices Act. I believe it's Article 9 in there that tells you that when somebody asks you about a debt, you have the right to demand full validation. They have to prove you owe it. And if it doesn't come in a timely manner, they can't prove it, then they have to stop the collection action. Because if they have a legitimate debt against you, they have the paperwork that shows you owe it. If they can't produce the paperwork in a reasonable time frame. The other thing is the Fair Credit Reporting Act. And, again, these are federal documents. You get them, and you just read your rights and everything under those. Because if they're putting bad marks against your credit, you have the right to they remove it until they prove that that's a debt of yours. So let me just tell you, let me finish. So with this $12,000 debt, so, you know, once I let them know that they couldn't give me validation, you know, I said, well, how about half? And I go, no. How about third? They got down to $4,000. And I said, no. And then I got a court date to go to court and argue it. And I just said to my lawyer, what are you going to charge me? He said, about 2 hours. I said, all right, here's what you're going to do. You're going to offer him $435 to settle this $12,000 debt. He goes, okay, I'll do whatever you say. He said, you know more about this stuff than I do. He said, I've never handled this kind of stuff because I used to do consumer protection work. And he said, I'll offer it. He called me back an hour later. He said, they took it. I said, yeah, because I've been such a royal pain in their ass for 2 years now writing letters back. They probably have $5,000 worth of legal overhead into this thing. And this way here it ends it. And when they got it, I got it under certain conditions. One is that full release with prejudice, They can never bring this cut. They can't resell the debt to somebody else, so this all starts again 2 years from now with someone else who thinks they got a fresh account. And they have to contact the credit, and they have to put on my credit. Not settled, not closed, not charged off, none of that. Paid as agreed. And that's what my credit report showed. And my credit report went up 21 points because of it. When it hit, paid as agreed.
Apparently, wow. They do forgive student loans.
So,
they must have.
But, Mike, how come when we do sign those papers and things like that, once we're done paying whatever we owe them, how come they can't give us back that paper and let us rip the paper? How come they can't do that?
And you see, they're supposed to. But you hear, they're supposed to hand you the original note. Your note is incredibly valuable. From the old common law, which is predates even our Constitution and stuff, a note from a man enslaved him to the holder of that note. Before we had currency in this country, and if you listen to Maloney's stuff I was telling you about, the hidden secrets of money, he makes a definite definition between money and currency. We have currency, something that we can pass around. That's all we have. That paper is currency. Fiat is currency. And see, before that was in effect here, every bank would write a note on that bank, good by the faith and honor and assets, secured by the faith, honor, and assets of that bank. Well, when a man made a note, that's what you were doing. You were issuing money, whether you knew it or not. Your note was money. It was real. It was as real as gold and silver, and it was taken so in court. So when you pledged a note to somebody, they basically had the right to all your worldly possessions, your value. And that's why in the old days when you paid off a note, you got the original note you signed handed back. And that law is all still in effect.
Well, and the second question I wanted to see, because I saw it at Money and Vet, they talk about it. They say whatever loan that you have, let's say $20,000, they take that money, they put it in a big pot, they go get investors that invest on that $20,000 that you have. The bank is already paid because the investor gets an insurance company that protects them in case you don't pay that money.
Yes.
But the question I want to ask you, why is the bank still going after you when they already got paid?
Because they can't.
It shouldn't be you. They shouldn't be going. It should be the investor that paid back that money that should be going after you, not the bank.
Well, don't start trouble because they could. But you see, they then hire the bank to service the debt. And that's another thing that people don't know about. Like when you have a mortgage and you hear your mortgage has been sold, usually what they'll then do is they'll pay, I think it's around 2%. They pay 2% of the value of that loan for the bank to service that loan and issue you your payment book and make sure you make the collections and everything every month. And they're still in part of the transaction. They've been hired by the investor to service the loan. And what a racket is. I have friends who open second mortgage companies because of this racket. Take $100,000 of cash. Okay, write your mortgage paper so that it will be insured by Fannie or Freddie. Okay, get mortgages sold. On that mortgage, you might charge somebody 2 points and say, I'm going to just charge you 2 points at 8%. I'm a hero because I'm helping you out. So they get 2% of that as a closing cost. They take that paper within 30 days. They flip it into Freddie or Fannie. They get all their money back. And then what they do is Freddie or Fannie or somebody says to them, will you service this loan and collect on it? So they get paid 2% of the 8% to just collect the payment and put it into a lockbox, okay? And then they take the same $100,000 and loan it out again next month. So hold it. They're making 2 points on the closing. They're making 2% to service the loan. And they take the same $100,000 and loan it out 12 times in a year.
To another person.
48% on that money.
On the same money that you paid, yeah.
Actually, that's just the first year. Then the next year, they're continuing to make 2% every single month. The next year, they're doing the same game with the same $100,000. By the end of that year, they made 72% on that same $100,000.
No, it was so funny. Money and Debt showed that. It showed, let's start a new bank and see what happened. And they said, the Federal Reserve comes and tells you have $1,000 as money that we gave you. So first of all, you get nine fractional for the $1,000. That means you have $10,000 in a year that you could go and do whatever you want. So even though you have $1,000 in your account, then somebody goes and loans it the $10,000. And they showed the whole thing. And after a year, the bank was like worth that much.
I know. I helped found a local bank once in a farming community. We raised $4.5 million for our charter. 3 years later, the feds were telling us it was the most successful bank in the history of the United States. No bank had ever reached profitability in its first year. We were profitable after 6 months because we were doing loans to local farmers and stuff. But it was the liquidity ratios. Man, we had $100 million in assets on deposit, and it was the liquidity ratios. Holy, so you mean we can loan out $1.2 billion? They go, yep. And we get paid the 2% servicing fee. And for those loans, we get to put the money back in the account and reloan it again. The internal, and they call it internal rate of return, Stanley, it is phenomenal. Everybody thinks, oh, a bank makes 7% or 8%. No. Every single time they flip the same dollar and re-indebt it, they make
and
the 7%
or 8%. Exactly. And that's the 8% they're making every time.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing.
And that's why banks are getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And you're like, what? And then you're like, what? Where's the money?
And that's why the way you win, you do what the Mormons do. You form family limited partnerships with a general partner, and when a bank buy and when a Mormon young couple gets married, and they want to get married and buy a house, they go to the family limited partnership, which usually owns a mortgage company, and the mortgage money they're getting lent is Uncle Joe's. So the interest they pay goes back to the family, not to a bank. And that's why after five generations, you have Cola family and everybody else, because they do business only with themselves. And they keep and nobody outside the family benefits by any of the financial transactions they do.
I have another question.
Even when they lease a car, they lease it from one of their own companies.
When in their own, yeah. Go ahead.
I have a question. This goes back to debt, okay?
Oh, because... do we have to go back to debt? You're
no,
such
because
a high maintenance
about...
woman, you know. I'm not even getting any, and I got to pay for everything.
Because I'm reading the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act, right?
Yeah.
So. And I'm on the false or misleading representations. So I'm thinking back to a couple years ago. I had a debt collector call me from.
Yep.
He's a lawyer.
Yep.
And he said, "Well,
no, he
we're."
He was a lawyer.
I have to go, guys.
Yeah, he claimed he was a
lawyer. Thanks for the call.
Said,
bye.
He said that we're about to go to court and get a judgment or something and get a warrant. And I was like, a warrant for what? I don't even think I owe this. I was like, I don't believe I owe this debt. I have no clue what you're talking about. He's like, well, they'll be knocking on your door to issue a warrant. You got to do what you got to do.
Now, right there, that was illegal. And if you had that on recording, you'd say, what's the phone number to your legal department? I know people have done this. They've recorded those kind of conversations. And there's a whole training that goes with this. I've taught people how to do this over the last couple of years. To record every single call coming in and out. You get a recording like that, and then you go and play it for their legal team. And here's what happens. The lawyer, the real lawyer, hears them say that. They know he broke federal law, and they know that that's an employee, therefore an agent of theirs. They know right now this opens them up to a multi-million-dollar civil and legal action. That there are collection agents serving 5-year federal prison terms right now all over this country for doing what you just said. They say, they get real humble, and they say, what's it take to make this go away? And I've known people that said, you will send me a check for $5,000, and that bill, you will show it is paid, and this ends today. And the next day, FedExed overnight, they had a certified check from the law team for $5,000.
I mean, this guy, he just sounded like they said.
No, we don't have debtor prisons. Diva, I know you're on the left.
Right. I know we don't have, and I said a warrant for what?
We don't have debtor prisons anymore. It is you cannot be arrested for owing a debt. You are not obligated for your parents' debt unless you were a cosigner. Your children's debt. You're not obligated for your neighbor's debt. And when they start going down that road, so here's the best way to handle it. First of all, you did most of it right, but there's just a couple things you need to add. Whenever a debt collector calls you, here's how you handle it. You never admit to it, number one. You never say, oh, and if they give you the last 4 digits of an account or something, it's not your job to be their internal bookkeeping department. Say, oh, yeah, that's my old Chase card from 1941. It's like you hear them out and you say, okay, first thing I have to let you know is that all calls in and out of here are recorded. I've seen them freak out at that point and hang up and never call you again. Because you already know he's broken the law by already what he said to you, okay? Because I've seen him turn on people, And this woman, but I don't really have a recording thing. And I said, then tell them anyway that you're recording it. They get very nice. And so this one guy said, and I want you to know, Mrs. So-and-so, this was up in Michigan. This was a military wife, five little kids and her husband's on deployment, and this guy's reading the Riot Act. And he said, I want you to know that every word you're saying right now is being recorded. And she finally had enough, and she listened to me, and she said, oh, you for reminding me. I keep forgetting. My husband says I'm supposed to tell you that every call in and out of here is recorded. And the guy went, what? You mean I'm being recorded? Right now? Yeah. So let's finish this conversation. I can't talk to you. And he hung up, and she never heard from them again.
Wow.
Yeah, you know, that's kind of really devious, isn't it, how they do that?
Yeah, it really is. So here, but if you are recording, and there are little recording devices you can put on your phone to plug into your computer that automatically record to the hard drive every time the line opens, here's what you tell them. You hear them out, and you say, I have no knowledge of what you're talking about. And it's probably because it's so old, it's probably past any statute of limitations. And as is my right under the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act and the Fair Debt Recording Act and all other governing federal and state law, I am now requesting from you validation of this account. And I am requesting that you have this in my hand in 30 days or less. It is on the recording. You have been put on notice. And they say, well, what's your address? If they ask you any questions, you say, excuse me, if you have a legitimate debt, you already have my address. You already have my phone number. If it's legitimate, you would have all these records in your hand. It isn't going to take you all that long to photocopy them and send them to me in the next 72 hours. But I'm a nice person. I'll give you the 30 days. Until then, you never call me again on this. All further correspondence is in writing, and what is the address to your legal team? Because I'm going to send them a copy of this recording for this phone call, and I'm going to put everything I've just said to you in writing to them. And if you or anybody from your company ever calls me again on this matter without having sent me the validation,
there's a lot of ways you go about beating the IRS, too, once they put a levy on your wages.
Yeah.
You know, they come up with that one chart that shows, well, if you make this amount, you should be able to live on this, and therefore we should be able to take this from you.
Yeah.
No, you don't do that. You go to what's called your standard living expenses,
mm-hmm.
and it breaks it down per state
mm-hmm.
on rent,
mm-hmm.
food, and all those things.
Mm-hmm.
And then you are able to show them that, hey, IRS, you're saying I'm able to live on this, whereas this standard living the standard living chart, and it's also within the IRS codes, too. It says that you're allowed to use that. Basic standard of living. And if your basic standard of living is higher than what it is, what it shows on those codes, plus you show other expenses every month, then they cannot take what you don't have or what you need to live for. And you don't even have to – one thing you never want to do with them is get into a payout agreement. Let them go ahead and do that. Then you counter it with this information that you get. Then if you owe them $300,000 and you're down to paying them $15 a month, well, hell, after 10 years, you don't owe them anything. They can't collect on you no more. And they never will get the $300,000 out of you. Where everybody go?
Still here. I'm still here. This is just very interesting. I guess
there
the other two dropped off.
No, I'm still here. I had to grab another call. I'll be back with you guys in a second.
We need to talk about this all the time, Diva. You quiet.
Be quiet, Bianchi. That's because I'm trying to research at the same time you guys are talking.
But I was looking up, there's a certain particular student loan that you can be forgiven for, but there's a couple of them that they don't. So I don't know which kind you get.
Unsubsidized and subsidized student loans.
Well, I don't know what that means, but they say there's
Subsidized student loans are the ones that are the government's not backing, and you have to pay interest on those while – and interest still accrues while it's in forbearance or whatever. subsidized loans are backed by the government, and while they're in forbearance or you're trying to, you know, work through it, there's no interest being taxed.
It says the only loan received under the William D. Ford Federal Direct Loan or quote-unquote direct loan program for eligible for PSLF, which is the Perkins Loan Plan.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the Federal Perkins Loan Program or any other student loan are not eligible for PSLF. Now, what the hell is PSLF? So you're going to have to go check and see. But I know they're real hard on two things,
Perkins
student
loan
loans and child
Perkins
support.
Perkins Loan is the subsidized loan.
Well, the
most
Perkins,
subsidized
if you got the Perkins loan, you're not eligible for Perkins Loan. You're not eligible for the PSLF.
What the heck is the PSLF?
Public Service Loan Forgiveness. If you work full-time in a public service job, you may qualify for Public Service Loan Forgiveness.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry, guys. That was my...
I also have a student loan that they're saying that I owe that's $12,000, and I'm like, wait a minute, I went to school most of the time, so I know that there's only $4,000 that I owe because I got sick and they wouldn't give me, you know, the teachers wouldn't let me make up the work, so I got poor grades in those classes. Now, to get poor grades, that money has to go back to the federal government or back to the loan company. So I'm trying to figure out. So I asked him, I said, I need information.
Yeah, but you still owe the school, don't you?
Loan, huh?
You still owe the school, don't you?
No, I don't owe the school. I shouldn't have to owe the school. The school got paid. No. No, see, that's what I don't get. If I owe the school, why do I still owe the bank?
Diva, you need to call Washington, D.C., and you need to talk to somebody in the federal student loan thing and explain your situation and get somebody who knows how to navigate the can of fish hooks you're in the middle of right now.
Yeah, because calling them, I get no information. I get the runaround.
No,
and they
talking
don't.
To a debt collector, you're not going to get anything but runaround. And, of course, every minute you delay, the interest is going up. And the new and here's what they do on this. It's like a reverse friggin' mortgage on you. It isn't straight interest. If you owe $10,000 and it was 1% a year interest after 10 years, they're not adding 10% on. They're compounding it. Because what they do is they take the new balance each year and they recapitalize it, which is a fancy way for making it the new principal, and then the next year the interest is calculated on all of that. So you need to
federal.
Jump on this, baby. Maybe put down some of those books you're reading. And I think you better work on expanding your checking account before you work on expanding your mind here.
Yeah, they got, this says Federal Direct Stanford Loans, Stanford Ford Loans, subsidized loans.
Yeah.
Those are ones that's not, Steve, you better go ahead and get that stuff straightened out, man, because they go after your Social Security.
Yeah, they can garnish
wages, they can
attach real
in
property.
In 40 years? Well... 60,
yes, they
30,
can.
30 years?
Yeah, because they'll never go away. They'll never go away, Diva. Diva, you need to get a handle on this.
No, I want to get a handle on it, but I'm like, I don't believe I owe that much.
Well, then
is what
you
I'm
need
saying.
To get an accounting of it. You need to get an accounting of
That's
it.
That's what I'm trying to get, and they won't send me the information.
Right. Well, they will under the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act, and you tell them that you're requesting validation, and which is your right.
Oh my gosh! I went roundabout with this agent, and I was like, "Look, all I want is for you to send me the information." He's talking about, "Well, we need to settle this today." I said, "Look, I need to look at what you're telling me. I need the information." And oh my gosh, I was on the phone with him for an hour arguing just for them to send me the information.
And whatever
just...
you do, don't send them a dime.
Until
you get the number you want to hear, because the minute you send them a dollar, you rewrite the contract and the statute of limitations has gone away in your state. Because there's funny because even though there is no statute of limitations on student debt, there's sometimes statutory limitations to how much they can garnish your wages by after a certain amount of time.
I thought at first I owed two student loans. You take out, I took out two student loans in 2010 to go to school. Mm-hmm. And I went to school from 2010 to 2011.
Right.
And now it turned into four loans, and I'm trying to figure out how that happened.
Probably what they're doing is probably the unpaid part is growing in interest, and maybe they've separated the two. I don't know, Diva. Diva, honey, this is why you just – this is a mess. I hate these student loans. To me, they're worse. Do you know that student loan debt last year in the United States surpassed credit card debt? Now, that's really damning when you think student loan goes to mostly young people who are going to school,
yeah,
where credit card debt is everybody, all the way up to great-grandmas, 90 years old, have credit cards.
This is why I don't want to go back to school. This is why I'm like, I'm not taking any more student loans until I get this figured out. And this, the first time I went to school on grants.
Yeah.
And I finished the 2 years. And that was the first time I had to take out a student loan. And it's coming to bite me back in the butt.
Hey, Diva, my darling, I can sit here at my desk? Okay, good. They just brought me in pepperoni mushroom pizza.
Oh, wow. Rub it in, why don't you, Mike?
Huh? Well, Diva,
rub it in, why don't
for me
you?
As soon as you get rid of that minimum wage nonsense stuff. You know? I mean, we try to take good care of everybody here. What, Em? You got the wrong one, hon? What kind of sausage you want? The dogs will have sausage, yeah. It could be meatballs too. So Bianchi, are you building any more? Are you retired or? Oh, I guess he's not there. Is that you, Diva, bringing music there?
Yeah, that's me.
Yeah, hon. I better get my button gear here, go to work. Emily's gotta leave early so she's got a babysitting job for you can't move to this county if you're a bigot because it's 57% Black American in this county. And Emily works for a very successful family who is Black and owns one of the more successful car dealerships here. And Emily's a blonde little white girl with green eyes, you know. and she I don't care who pays me, what color they are, the money's green, you know, and she takes care of their children. She's their nanny. So, see, we do role reversal here in my county. So, anyway. Oh, really? Oh, okay. He's got a white brother, so that's cool. I don't know, Diva. The world is screwed up enough. Diva, thanks for today, honey. It's been fun, and I hope some of the information I was able to share with you will help you.
All right, thanks, Mike. Take care.
Oh, you're entirely welcome, sweetheart. Good luck with it. But start telling these son of a guns that they're being recorded. You'll see all of a sudden they get nice as pie. Okay?
All right.
Bye.
Bye.